Production. Recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Shoe segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair, and I also have a co-host with me today, Jasmine Lampton. Amen. I would just like to start off by saying, first of all, I apologize to everybody who, you know, who's expecting more shows. You know, I just been busy with ministry stuff, you know, and I have not really had time to really do a show like I would like to. But today, you know, the Lord kind of placed in my spirit to do a show today. He freed me up to where I was able to do a show today. So, we have a very interesting show today. Today we're going to be talking about the false prophetic and the Antichrist spirit. I know that sounds like an interesting topic, amen, but it's something that's very, very true and something that needs to be addressed, amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to turn real quick to the book of 1 John, John the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And this is something very interesting to me because, you know, everybody talk about the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is coming. Can I tell you the Antichrist is already here?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. We are looking for a man. Because the thing about it is, because we've been taught that, you know, we've been taught that instead of, you know, properly interpreting the word of God and searching the scriptures for ourselves, we just been going by what great grandmama and them think. We going by what a Paris Stone and Templar Hay and all them be saying. Amen. and we so busy going by what's taught to us, you know, that we just take it as fact. And we don't even search the word of God for ourselves, and we don't even, you know, ask God, Lord, is that true? Hello? You're learning from leaders who don't even flow in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I know y'all like Grant and Jeffrey and all them, but there's no kingdom demonstration there. Why would I listen to you and there's no kingdom demonstration? Everybody talking about they go bashing folks already. No, I'm not bashing folks. I'm telling the truth. Amen. Because every teacher, preacher of the gospel ought to be moving in signs and wonders. Amen. But anyway, that's another topic. Amen. That is another topic.
That's a whole other show.
Exactly. I know, right? 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Well, first, we so quick to believe everybody. I don't want to stop right there real quick. We are so quick to believe everybody. We so quick to believe folks just because somebody say they're a prophet, we automatically run to their service and holler about, ooh, is a prophet. Lord, I pray he or she called me out. It says, believe not every spirit. Huh? Isn't that what it says? But it says, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. So what is it saying? Is that there's many false prophets out there, and you are supposed to try the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that the Bible tells us it does not turn you against prophetic ministry, because the Bible does say despise not prophecy. Now the Bible says despise not prophesying. So the thing about it is a lot of people go and despise prophecy because of these jackleg prophets that's out there pimping the people for money.
Wow.
You see, they don't believe that God still used prophets. They believe that all prophets false. You ever run across some folks that believe all prophets are false?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the real one comes and they start flowing it to real heaven in the gifts of the Spirit, they want to call it false.
They get hesitant to be trying to stop it. I don't know about all that. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing about it is that, you know, I seen something where somebody posted, come out, you know, if a prophet call out your social security number or, you know, such and such and all this, then they are false prophets. Well, let me tell you something. The gifting of the word of knowledge is real.
That's right. Okay?
Now, either you can submit your gift to the enemy or you can submit your gift to God. You see, Lord have mercy, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this real quick, okay? Word of knowledge is real. It's
That's
one
right.
of the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge has no limitations in what it can operate, how
That's
it can
right.
operate, as long as it's being operated by the Spirit of God. So God may give you insight into something, and it's not to make you believe necessarily in the prophet, but to believe that God is real.
That's right.
It is to build people's faith. It's not to cause you to deify the prophet, because a lot of folks deify these prophets, and these prophets get the big head, and God got to bring them right back down because you done put them on a pedestal, put them on a big old throne, and they sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. For all the prophets that's listening, listen up. If you flow very heavily in the gifts of the Spirit, let me tell you something, all right? The Bible talks about King Herod in the book of Acts. It talks about how when King Herod came out one day, he was all dressed up, the Bible says, in his royal apparel, and he spoke these great swelling words. And he began to speak these words, and the Bible says that the people began to worship him and say that these are not the words of man. These are the words of God. These are the words of a God. It's not a man. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord struck King Herod. Hello. And the worms ate him alive while he was sitting on his throne. Why? Because he gave not glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how well you can prophesy. I don't care how well you can flow in the gift of the Spirit. If you don't give glory back to God, you fall. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. You fall. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give glory to Jesus. And I'm going to get into that later on. But the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit giving the glory to Jesus. So if you glorifying yourself, if you glorifying yourself, or you allowing the people to deify you and glorify you, and you're not saying nothing, you can correct everything else. You can call out what's going on in your house, but you can't call that out. Something wrong. And I don't know why I'm going here tonight, but the Holy Ghost got me going. I'm going with him.
Amen.
But back to the scripture. Back to the scripture. I see some more people is joining the line, and some more people are joining the chat room. God bless you. Amen. It says, try to say it, brother, they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh is of God. Okay? It says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that should come, and even now already is in the world. Let me get on this for a second, okay? Because everybody say, you know, hey, just because I say Jesus Christ coming to the flesh is that means I'm of God, right? Let me tell you something. You have demons that will confess that Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh, all right? Let's look at that thing in this proper context here, because this is the hour here that God is getting ready to reveal stuff in its proper context. Because we
That's
love
right.
to quote stuff, we love to quote stuff, we quote scripture, and we quote all this big swelling stuff, and we go on by what somebody else done taught us. We got folks quoting it. That's why people say the Bible is confusing. The only reason why folks get confused under your teaching is because you're teaching stuff not in its proper context. That's why when people teach, they get so much contradictory stuff because it's not being taught in its proper context. So let's look at that word confess real quick, right? Because let's look at it now, because the New Testament was written in Greek. Why? Because they were conquered under the Roman Empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Rome conquered all the known world, Greece, Babylon, all that was under Rome. Okay, so naturally they would know how to speak a Roman type language. All right, so therefore, the New Testament was written in Greek. They was written in Greek. All right, so understand this, that you know their words may be different from ours. Like if we say the word and may mean one thing in the English language, but and may mean about two or three things in the Greek language.
That's right.
Amen. So let's look up that word confess real quick, all right? To confess something means to acknowledge publicly, all right? It means to acknowledge publicly. And if you deal with that, if you look at that word acknowledge, what do you got in that word acknowledge? You got the word knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledging not only deals with your confession, it deals with what you know, right?
Yes.
Wow. And the thing about it is faith without works is dead, right? You walk according to what you know. So that word confession is not just dealing with you saying something out of your mouth, but it says something. It more so talks about you walking out something and demonstrating something. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that scripture? Amen. So when you confess something, it means to acknowledge publicly. You're acknowledging, let me tell you something. You are acknowledging Christ by how you live, right? Because you can say it all day long, and I'm going to prove in scripture later on that antichrist does not just mean that you confess it negatively towards Christ. I'm going to prove that in scripture. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I just ask that you all bear with me because I want y'all to get this. Amen? It says that every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh is not of God. So if you don't acknowledge publicly, not just by what you say, but by your lifestyle, because our lifestyle is saying something. Amen. Our lifestyle is a statement.
Mm.
You know, I have people that know that I'm a man of God. Not by what I say, because I don't say nothing around. But they tell me how I carry myself. Huh? Your lifestyle is saying something. Your walk is saying something. Hello?
Amen.
Some folks talk too much.
Jesus.
I'll tell you something. Your silence can be louder than your talking. And still say something. And still make a statement. Amen?
Amen. Apostle, if I can, I just want to come in right there because you just touched into something that God had really gave me. When I was looking at Matthew chapter 15, and it talks about, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous as wolves. And then it says, you will know them by their fruits. And I said, well, God, what does that really mean right there? And God started talking to me about character. And see, we can't just, a lot of times when people say fruit, they look at the ministry, they look at the growth, they look at the gifts.
That's right.
But we can't just look at that kind of stuff because, see, we know that you can do all these things and God will still say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I do not know you. So we can't just look at how the ministry is flourishing because God will fire you and keep you working for him because his gifts and callings come on without repentance. So when God said fruit, he said character. I said, well, what is that? And God said, well, look at the fruits of the Spirit. Because the fruits of the Spirit, it takes maturity as a Christian. It takes maturity in your walk and relationship with God to really be able to walk in those things like joy, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, et cetera, et cetera. And see, when somebody is not really called of God, like the Antichrist or the false prophets, they don't know how to control their flesh because, see, those fruits of the Spirit come from being with God and getting to know God and becoming more like him. So when you just mentioned about character, that ties right into that. But these are the people that as soon as you start talking about their agenda and how it's not of God, all of a sudden they want to get upset and start hollering and carrying on. All the real, all of a sudden the sheep's clothing comes off and you see the wolf for what it really is. And so right in here when we talk about character, that's one of the things we really need to look for. We really need to look for the fruit. You know, they can pray and prophesy and heal and deliver and all of that, but if they're not walking in the fruits of the Spirit, then that's not of God.
Amen.
Come on now. You said a mouthful right there. And see, the thing about it is, you go make me get ahead of myself, but that's good because the Holy Ghost is strong with the thing. See, the Bible says that you will know them by their fruit, not their gift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you something. I've had people tell me, you know, that God has whipped them because of the signs and wonders. Let me tell you something. All right, just because you start off in the Spirit, don't mean that you gonna end up in the Spirit. I'm gonna tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
The false prophets of the Bible, they show signs and wonders. Matter of fact, let me read something to you real quick. Let me shut this lie down real quick, okay? Let me shut this lie down. So you got some folks that are still operating in power, but the only thing is that their power is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is you might have started off operating in the power of God. All right? You might have started off operating in the power of God, but then got corrupted, and then what did the enemy do? He just did a switch on you. Because God left you and the devil came into you in the same instant, and you didn't even do you. You couldn't even tell the difference. Why? Because you were corrupted with pride.
Mm.
Amen. That's for somebody. Amen. Check this out. Matthew 24. Let me see. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 26. It says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ. Christ means anointed or anointed one, okay? So Christ means anointed, all right? So it says, here is Christ or there. Believe it not.
Hello. Mm.
It says, for there shall arise false Christ or false anointing and false prophets. You know, and is a conjunction word combining the first half with the second half, right? So you can't have a false prophet without a false Christ or false anointing.
That's right.
It says, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that means it's not, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Yeah.
Behold, mm-hmm. I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Right? There's going to be a whole bunch of folks, and it already happened during Jesus' time already. You see, he was prophesying concerning not only that time, but continuing on. It started then, and it's still operating now. You see, many people are going to say, oh, God is with me because of this is happening or that is happening, and that's why the fivefold ministry, the real fivefold ministry, needs to be in place, because the Bible says that when the fivefold ministry is in place, that people won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Let me tell you something. Just because somebody say that, you know, they got signs and wonders going on, don't mean it's real, don't mean it's of God. The devil know how to imitate stuff. Because I'm going to tell you something. When God shows something, it's going to be life-changing. When God heals you, he ain't going to take it back.
Amen.
Uh-oh. I'm going to tell you something. When God heals, he don't take it back.
That's right.
Anybody that tell you that God will take back your healing, they are lying, a demon from hell. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie. When have you ever saw Jesus heal somebody and then he took their healing back?
Mm.
Hello? Now, you can go and get sick again.
That's
by
right.
By doing the same stuff you've been doing that got you sick the first time, that'll be your choice.
Because
God
Uh-oh.
Himself, he's not going to take your healing back. God
That's
himself,
right.
He's not going to take your deliverance back. He delivered you one time. You go back into the same mess. That's on you. You're the one that decided to go back. But God ain't do nothing. He delivered you. Hello?
Mm.
So you got some folks that actually teach this nonsense that God's going to take your healing back. That's a lie. Mm. God ain't taking nobody healing back. That's a false prophecy. From hell. If anybody prophesied that. Anybody prophesied that before, you're false and you need to repent. Oh, yes, I'm coming hard tonight. I ain't been on Talk Show in a long time. Praise God. But, Jasmine, you made a point here. I want to go back to this scripture real quick.
Okay.
Okay. It says, verse 4, you are God's little children and have overcome them, because great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Still talking about Antichrist now, still in the same context. It's still in the same context. Just keep this thing in a proper context now. It's still in the same context of false prophets and apostles. Not apostles, but false Christ and Antichrist spirit. Amen. Antichrist spirit and false prophets. Amen.
Amen.
False apostles can be included. Amen. All them false apostles, prophets, teachers, all of them included in one.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, great is he that is in he that is in the world, right? Talking about the Antichrist spirit. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world hears them. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Talking about the foundation and the doctrine that the apostles laid. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'm going to tell you something. A false anointing, false Christ, Antichrist and false prophets always operate in error. They teach error. They operate in the gifts of the spirit in error. They run their ministry in error. Hello. And they take one little scripture. They take one little scripture and justify what they're doing. One scripture taken out of context. And you justify what you're doing. What would you get ready to say, prophet? Jasmine, you get ready to say something?
No, it's just right along with what you said. Everything they do is an error, so they're a big error. And one of the things that kills me the most, that it really gets me, is when you try to sit down and talk to some of these people about their error, they, like you said, they take a scripture out of context to justify what we're doing. You know, this is the most played out one that I heard. Well, you know, the word of God says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, we have fallen. That doesn't mean we have to fall and stay there and lay down and never get up again. But they use that as a justification to doing the things that they're doing.
And I'm going to tell you something, too. The word of God says all have sinned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have is past tense.
Okay. Yes.
Come on. Let me just get with it real quick. The Bible says he's able to keep us from falling.
That's right.
So the thing about it is that when they use that same old drawn-out scripture, as a matter of fact, they said in present tense when the Bible is speaking it in past tense,
yes.
They said, we all fall short of the glory of God. No, it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is able to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? The Spirit of God is able to keep you.
That's right.
But the problem is people don't want to be kept because they still want to do what they're doing.
Uh-oh.
I've been there before. The Lord had to put me in check a while ago. Praise God. Amen. I was on the phone with somebody one day, and I was talking about how, yeah, we all not perfect, and this one God was really dealing with me. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you will never be perfect in your flesh. Hello. So I'm not telling you something that I have not been through myself. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you would never be perfect in your flesh. If the Bible told us not to sin, then don't you believe it's possible not to sin? I know some of y'all are flipping y'all religious wigs right now because you've been taught for so long that you can just sin. And just continue to ask God for forgiveness, which forgiveness is available if you fall short. However, the Bible also tells us not to use the grace of God as an occasion to sin.
That's right.
Huh? So what's wrong? The problem is that folks want to be in the world. Folks love it. The Bible says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's sitting there. Love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't love God and love secular music at the same time. Uh-oh.
Come on.
You see, I'm going to tell you something. I've literally almost declared war on secular music in the house of God.
That's
we need
right.
to get that garbage out. Because you got too many people that's in the pulpit now. You got too many people that's operating in ministry functions and leadership positions. They're singing on the praise team and they're singing, they singing Beyonce songs and Jill Scott. How are you going to sing Beyonce songs and then go to church and sing praise to God? You a hypocrite. You need to sit down. You need to sit down and get some deliverance. Get some deliverance and get purified for real so God can use you the way that he desires to use you for real. Amen. I ain't trying to condemn you tonight, amen, but the word of God condemns what you're doing.
Mm.
Hello? Well, we so busy making excuses for sin. Just say, Lord, deliver me. I
all
need
right.
to be delivered. Take it away from me. And if your pastor can't cast no demon out you need to go somewhere else.
Mm.
Where they can cast out a demon and stay there and don't go back to the pastor that can't cast the demon out you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm serious. I'm serious. Hello. Some folks ain't liking this, but it's real. Amen. So let's get all that secular music. Men, get that. Get some earrings out your ear. Yes, preachers, music ministers, especially people that's in the choir and in the music department, Satan just loves to pervert them. Yeah. Amen. Some folks getting mad. They're getting upset because I feel it. They think I'm being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, he's being judgmental. But let me tell you something, though. Matter of fact, y'all gonna make me go to this scripture. Y'all gonna make me read it, too. Because apostles can't judge anything that goes on in the house of God. We just can't judge the world. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna turn to it. As soon as I get it right here. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 and 13, it says, but what have I to do to judge them that are without? That word without, if you look it up, it means outside. It's talking about those that are not in the house of God. Amen. Do not ye judge them that are within. Talking about those that are in the house of God. So he's saying that don't. Aren't we supposed to judge those that are inside the house of God, not the ones that's outside? Matter of fact, this whole fifth chapter is talking about the Apostle Paul judging sexual immorality in the church. And it literally says that he judged. It says, but them that are without, God judged. So God judged those that are in the world, right? Therefore, put away from that from among you that wicked person. So it's saying, put away from among you that person who is committing the sexual immorality. Because if you look up 1 Corinthians 5 in the context, God, in its proper context, God was using the Apostle Paul to judge sexual immorality in the church. And what do you say? Put them out. Hello?
Mm.
Apostle Paul said, I already judged it. I'm not there in body, but I'm there in spirit. Judge. I've already judged. Put them out. Hello?
Mm.
So the thing about it is that we can judge what goes on in the house of God. Folks don't like that.
Mm.
And judging don't mean sentencing them to death either. Amen.
Amen.
It don't mean cursing them. Because folks love to curse folks. You come up against me, God gonna curse you. If God decided to do something like that, it ain't for you to speak it.
Mm.
Got some folks be praying the psalms. Y'all need to stop praying them psalms. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to make some folks mad tonight, but that's all right, though. It's all good. I love you anyway. Man. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. But anyway, back to the scripture. Back to the scripture. Amen. It says, great is he that is in you, right? It says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Let me tell you something. False prophets, you can tell false prophets because they're them the most worldly folks. You can tell when folks just false, man. They got no standard, no kind of holiness for God. They just false and they just worldly. Just as worldly. And then they be trying to be worldly in a spiritual way. I know I just lost some folks right there. Because these folks try to be spiritual and worldly at the same time. I'm going to tell you something. When you're greedy behind money, you're worldly.
Oh, jeez.
When you are greedy behind money, you are worldly. I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yes, amen.
When you're sitting up there listening to Fantasia,
mm-mm,
and you listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and all these kind of folks, and you claiming you're a man or woman of God, whether you are in ministry or not, you worldly. And then you gonna come in here and speak in tongues. Them tongues ain't real. Shut that stuff down. Because you are habitually living something, come on now, that's contrary to the word of God.
Jeez.
Habitually. That means it's a lifestyle. That means it's something that continues on and on and on and on. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I'm not telling you something that does not line up with Scripture.
Mm.
So you can't say that I'm teaching you anything false.
Okay.
Come on, D.
All
right, now check this out, all right? It says, now this is, it's still in the same context of the Antichrist spirit and false prophets, right? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves, let me see. It says, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, right? All right. Check this out. Anybody who's walking in this kind of false type ministry, they don't walk in love, at least the God kind of love. Because you got folks that will bend over backwards for you as long as you're doing what they want you to do. But as soon as you stop doing what they want you to do, or they, you are not able to do what they want you to do, then all of a sudden mad they come. Hello? Mad they comes and they're cursing you, talking about you're going to do this and do that, and you're not going to be this and you're not going to be that, and they always holler about you wrong. That's not the God kind of love. All right, because Jesus, I'm gonna tell you something. When Jesus was praying for the very one, he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was praying for the same ones that was crucifying him. He won't curse them. That goes for all them folks that talking about, "I send it back to sender. You a witch and a warlock. You need to stop." Talking about, "I send it back to sender. What is that? That ain't of God." Come on, let what they plan enter back into their own heart. You a witch if you're praying that. That's witchcraft.
Mm.
So folks need to stop sending it. Folks need to stop sending it back to sender. Hello? That was for somebody that's listening. Because somebody, I feel it in my spirit, somebody that's listening now, you have been taught to send it back to sender. Whoever taught you that is wrong. Here, don't do that. You're wrong. Because that is operating in witchcraft. And what you threw out there, the Bible says, now the Bible says, I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says you reap what you sow. So whatever you throw out there, you're going to get it back. Hello? So stop sending it back to sender. And send whatever's being sent to you to the pits of hell. Don't send it back to sender. You didn't see Jesus send it back to sender, did you? You didn't see the Apostle Paul send it back to sender, did you? Huh? Amen. You don't have that authority. Hallelujah. It says, and this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, right? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus prayed this prayer, and he said that they will know Jesus said that the world will know that we are of God, we are of God by our love towards one another, right? Why is it that we got all these isms and schisms? I'm going to tell you something. False prophets are some very divisive people. You ever notice some folks that just can't get along with nobody? I understand this, that I know that, you know, real men and women of God are very controversial, all right? We are very controversial people. Apostles and prophets are very controversial people. I know I'm a very controversial person, all right? The stuff that I put out there, I have people that know me and like me come against me because of stuff that I say, right? All right, that's cool. But, however, if nobody got nothing good to say about you, something wrong with you. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. I have character witnesses. I do. And I have people around me that keep me in check, too, whenever I get out of line. Apostle or no apostle, I need somebody to see for me, too, because apostles and prophets, we need folks to see for us while we're going around seeing for everybody else. That's the problem. Don't nobody want to be accountable to nobody. Uh-oh. Going here again. Don't nobody want to be accountable to nobody. You don't got no business being in ministry and you're not accountable to nobody. Nobody you're accountable to? Hello? Nobody's covering you? You can't go to nobody? You don't got nobody coming in and inspecting your fruit? Then guess what? You're operating out of error. Because accountability is a principle all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Accountability. Hello. So you talking about, you know, God called me to stay in my house. Well, that's fine, but stay in your house with who? Who's coming second on you? Who's teaching you? Who's imparting to you? Huh? So you got some folks that God has separated for a season. Now he tell you be isolated. The difference between being separated and isolated. Amen. Because the Lord separated me for a season, but he did not isolate me. Amen. God is going to give you somebody, man. Hello? That you can be accountable to. But the problem is that folks want to do their own thing. Now, I'm supposed to be talking about the love of God, but the Holy Ghost got me going here. Amen. That's not of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. But we supposed to have some character, man. False prophets, they don't have no character. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen even little prophets on YouTube and stuff like that, you know, flow very heavily in the gift and stuff that they got. Amen. But as soon as they get the preaching and, you know, as soon as the drummer or the keyboard player don't hit the right note, they get to manifesting and come on, get him off the organ. Just get him off the organ. What is that? You need music to preach the kingdom of God? All that whooping and hollering ain't going to save nobody? Some folks are bad because some of y'all like that whooping and hollering. Amen. But this is the time where God is raising up apostles and prophets with the grace to teach. These people need to be taught. I mean, all that hollering is fine in its proper place. Amen. In its proper place. Amen. But every time you minister, you got to hoop and holler. And no. You people need to be taught the kingdom, man. In its proper context. We so busy going by what folks be telling us. A lot of that stuff is symbolic. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Amen. God is good. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and love is perfected in us. It says, if you love one another, God dwells in you. So folks that can't love and always divisive and can't get along with nobody, God ain't in you. Amen. God is not in you. Can I say that again? God is not in you. So the Bible says God is love. So if you can't love, then God ain't in you. Now, we're still in the context of antichrist spirit and false prophets now. It's hard for these folks to love. Amen. Mm. The fact they can't love. And if they call themselves loving, it's not real. It's conditional. Amen. It says, and we have seen and do and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Remember, I talked about that word confess, right? It deals more, if you look it up in the original language, it's more than just you saying something out your mouth. It's something that you're living, because to confess means to acknowledge publicly. When you acknowledge something, you walk according to what you know, because that word knowledge, come on, is the key word in the word acknowledge. So when you know something, you walk according to you know, to what you know. You know that when you get in the car, you can't go nowhere unless you stick that key in the ignition and you start it. That comes automatically, right? That's the first thing you do when you get in the car. And the next thing you do, you put your seatbelt on. Well, I hope you got enough sense to put it on. Amen. That comes next. When you know something, it's programmed in you to do. You know that when you get up in the morning, you know you got to wash your face and brush your teeth. It's programmed in you. You just know it. It becomes a routine. Hello? So when you know something, you walk accordingly to what you know. So confession is bigger than just saying something out your mouth. Because I'm going to prove the scripture that you can say something with your mouth, but deny God in your actions. So Lord have mercy. Let me move on real quick. All right. And it says, and we have known and believed that the love that God hath unto us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I was looking for that scripture earlier. I didn't even read this whole chapter until now. As he is, so are we in the earth, right? So we are supposed to be living replicas of Jesus Christ in the earth. Isn't that what it say, right? So if you reacting and you gossiping about everybody, then all you got to do is look at the fact that what did Jesus do? Remember the little bands around your wrist talking about what would Jesus do? Oh, yeah, them kind of bands there. What would Jesus do? As he is, so are we in earth. But then it talks about love and all that, too. And we still in the context of Antichrist and false prophets, right? Mm-hmm. False prophets can't walk in love. False prophets cannot walk in love. They cannot. Their love is not real.
No.
Their love is not real. Amen. Their character is not real. They go to the restaurants and treat the waitresses all nasty. They look at people all nasty. They think just because they are apostles and prophets, they can't go out there and minister to the people, and minister to the people that's sitting out there on the corner, homeless. You too good for that. You riding in limos. Ain't nothing wrong with riding in limos, amen, but you got to get your hands dirty sometimes.
That's right.
Folks don't want to get dirty. They want to stay clean. Tell you something. Them apostles got dirty in the Bible. Amen. If you're not doing what they're doing, then you ain't real, amen. Check it out. Let me read on. As he is, so are we in this world. So we're supposed to be a living replica of Jesus Christ. All right? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus, Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And be it known and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have. Okay, I already read that. Verse 18, check this out. There is no fear in love. Now, remember what context we're talking about this here now. It says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Amen. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. False prophets have a ministry of fear. You know somebody, I know you have so-called doom and gloom prophets now, praise God, and I don't really question that type of. But if everything you say is bad all the time, something wrong.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Everything you say is bad all the time, something wrong. I'm serious. Because I used to be one of them prophets that never had nothing good to say. And really, I'm kind of like that now, but I'm more in a loving way. I come more so with a rod of correction than a word of condemnation. Because one thing about correction, the Bible says God chastens those that he loves. Amen? He chastens those that he loves. And then the Bible says that chastening may not feel good at that moment, but in the end it's going to bring about a peaceable fruit. Any prophet that comes in and brings all this correction and all this judgment and never brings restoration, that's not a real prophet.
Mm-mm.
Amen. A real prophet don't leave you wounded without bandaging you up. Because prophets, when prophets come in, we do surgery in the spirit. Amen. We take out stuff that's not of God. Amen. Prophets are refiners. Amen. And then the apostle comes and reforms everything, brings it back to its original state, to what it's supposed to be according to biblical standards. That just went over a lot of folks' heads.
Mm.
Amen. Don't get me wrong now. I challenge a lot of stuff. Amen. The Lord got me challenging a lot of stuff, and a lot of folks ain't getting with it, a lot of folks ain't agreeing with it, which I really don't care. But one thing that you will never catch me do is you will never catch me condemning something. Now, you will catch me correcting something. I might have to bring order to something by exposing something for what it is. I really do. Amen. There's a difference between a conviction and condemnation. Conviction will make you feel bad about what you're doing and cause you to either change or remain where you are. Condemnation says you're going to hell anyway for doing it.
Mm.
You got some folks that always come out, God gonna kill America. God gonna blow up America. God may do this. God gonna do this. This gonna happen. This gonna happen. Well, yeah, it might be on the verge of happening, but God also changes his mind. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. The reason why the world is the way it is not because of God. War and destruction is not the will of God. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus died on that cross, he appeased the wrath of God. Oh, let me say that again. That kind of felt good. I like that. When Jesus died on the cross, he appeased the wrath of God.
Yes, he did.
That's for all y'all doom and gloom folks, that's all you talk about. Jesus came, right, to establish a kingdom, not a religious institution. It is through Christ we are victorious, right? But the reason why people can't walk in it is because they're not knowledgeable to it, they're ignorant to it, and the reason why they're ignorant to it is because they're not being taught a scripture in its proper context, but we're so busy going about what everybody else says. My end time view is a little different from everybody else. We so busy going by what Tim LaHaye and all them be saying. Grant Jeffrey and all of them, you so busy going by what they say. Amen. Like I said earlier, they're not even moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. How you going to listen to somebody who's not even moving in the Holy Ghost? Amen. My end time view of the church is more victorious. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, amen, I really see the kingdom of God being advanced in every area of society. Hello? Somebody say a kingdom takeover. Amen.
Amen.
I see that. It may be hard for you to see because you've been so indoctrinated with what folks have been telling you down from generation to generation. Huh? And you so believe that. You know, that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. Amen. And you got people out here now that's going to look crazy with it. But my view of the church is victorious. Amen?
Amen.
I don't believe that we're going to be running, ducking, and hiding for our lives. I believe in the time of recession, we're going to be progressive in the time of recession. Amen. We're going to be progressing in this time of recession. Amen. If you're in the kingdom, you don't even know what you got access to. You will not believe what we have access to, those of us that are in the kingdom. Amen. But you can't use something that you don't know nothing about.
Mm.
Amen. Come on now. So now, check this out. So false prophets have a ministry of fear. You ever been around leaders, man, that they just got to be reverent?
Mm.
I'm talking about in a deifying way. I ain't just talking about you respecting the man or woman of God and you respecting the authority that God placed on their life. You got to go over and beyond. I'm going to tell you something. You don't got no business being fearful of your pastor. The Bible says, fear not man who's able to kill the body. So the Bible tells us not to fear man, period. You afraid of your pastor, your apostle, there's something wrong. And leaders, if you are intimidating the people, if you are intimidating, and a lot of you know you intimidate, you do. Amen. You know you got them folks scared. You wrong for that. Amen. And if you don't like what I'm saying, go pray. Don't pray against me. Because then God has to side. Then God has to come on my side and protect me from you. Amen. But pray and ask God to give you some direction concerning it. And stop leading them people on. Hello. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, folks don't like this. That's all right, though. God bless you anyway. God bless you anyway. Amen. Now, check this out. It says, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So we got bitterness. And false prophets are full of bitterness and hatred, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. You know what hatred is? If you look up the meaning of hatred, it means bitter dislike. So when you say, I don't hate them, I just don't like them. Something wrong, it's still hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the meaning of hatred. Look it up, Google it, do your concordance, whatever. It means bitter dislike. So hatred deals with bitterness and dislike. Huh? Amen. Always got a problem with somebody. And this still in the context of false prophet. That's why the apostle John had to bring about the love message, because what these false prophets project and promote through the false anointing is hatred, bitterness. Come on now, they love is conditional. They don't love for real. And they don't walk according. They do not confess or acknowledge. Remember now, a confession in that portion of Scripture means to acknowledge. So acknowledging something deals not only with your confession, but it deals with your walk. So they do not walk accordingly as to them believing that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is Lord, because if they did, they would come under his lordship and walk accordingly. Hmm. Hello. Yeah. It says he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, from our God, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Mm.
Amen. Hello. I'm loving this thing here. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something about Antichrist. All right? Antichrist means against Christ, right? This spirit is against everything that Christ represents, right? Christ means the anointed one, too. Christ means the anointed. All right? It didn't say necessarily it was anti-Jesus. It was anti-Christ. Well, Jesus is Christ. Jesus' last name Christ. No, it's not. Christ was his title. Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ means Jesus the Anointed One, because Christ means the Anointed One. So Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, it says anti-Christ. It don't acknowledge Jesus in his conduct as Lord and Savior, but it's against the Anointed. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to break it down to you. So the thing about it is that, I'm about to blow y'all with this one. It says, here, this spirit is against everything that Christ represents and stands for, including Christ indwelling in you. Did y'all just pick that up?
Mm.
Anti-Christ. Not just anti-Christ Jesus who's on the throne, but anti-Christ Jesus who lives in you. Haven't you had that feeling of somebody really, like, you know, just coming against the anointing of God upon your life? Huh? You ever had that feeling? Some of you even had that feeling from a leader.
Mm.
Amen. The first thing they come with is, God not going to tell you something unless he tells me first. That's a religious lie from hell. That's not even scripture. Because there's plenty of stuff that God has said to different leaders that's in the Bible that those leaders didn't have previous knowledge of, including the apostles in the Bible. Why do you think the apostles need the prophet? Hello? Because that prophet will see things that apostles don't see. Uh-oh. So for a leader to tell you that God is not going to show you something unless you show it to them first, that's a lie. And everybody come out, and let me just shut this lie down real quick, too. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says, and you have a lot of prophets that teach this too, and the reason why people started teaching this is because people use this prophetic, use their prophetic gift for personal gain, and they abuse the gift, okay? But just because somebody abused the gift, don't try to lie on God and say something that the Bible don't say. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Don't try to say something the Bible didn't say. Don't lie on God. Now, check this out. I'm going to expel this lie, saying that God is not, whenever a prophet comes to you, it's always supposed to be for confirmation. That's not scripture. The Bible don't say that nowhere. And you can't prove that principle nowhere. Huh? You can't prove that principle nowhere. And when people used to say that all the time, I never felt that. The Holy Ghost, my spirit never bear witness with that. Because I don't find that nowhere in the Bible. Amen. But people started teaching that because a lot of these little false prophets that are running around using little gifts start speaking stuff into people's lives that's not God. And think about it is that, you know, just because these people are trying to ruin the credibility of the prophetic ministry don't mean that the prophetic ministry is not real. I'm going to tell you something about prophetic ministry. Okay, when you prophesy, prophets, our words have creative ability, all right? We speak something and call something to be out of nothing, all right? All believers have that authority, and all believers are supposed to be prophetic in nature, all right? So I'm not going to just limit it to just prophets. I'm going to say all believers, all of us, because all of us are supposed to be prophetic people. The Bible says all of us are supposed to be able to prophesy, all right? It says prophecy is for all, but being a prophet is not for all, but prophecy is. There's a difference between the ministry of the prophet and the gift of the prophet, the ministry of the prophet and the gift of prophecy. There's a big difference there, all right, because prophets have more authority. But anyway, I don't have time to really get into that right now. But understand this, that when we prophesy and when Lord gives us a prophecy concerning somebody's destiny, amen, even if you don't see it, you know, that word has creative ability, all right? That's why all prophecy is supposed to be judged, Well, let me say that again. That's why all prophecy is supposed to be able to be judged, because
mm-hmm.
when somebody prophesies and goes forth in the gift of prophecy, then that word that's going forth has creative power with it. That's why the Bible says that let two or three prophesy and let the ones that's sitting down judge. The ones that's sitting down judging, that might be a senior prophet of a house or something. And if that one that's sitting down got a word, that one that's standing up prophesying got to sit down. Why is that?
Mm.
The Holy Ghost giving a revelation on that. Why is that? Because the one that's standing up prophesying, the one that's sitting down, then found error in the one that's standing up prophesying. So now he got to get up and he got to clean up all that mess, because, see, prophecy is very important. Prophecy is very important. Prophecy will literally pave the way in the spirit.
Mm.
Come on now. It'll literally pave the way in the spirit. If the church needs to go a certain direction, that prophetic word will pave that way in the spirit. Why? Because it has creative ability, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So the prophetic ministry is nothing to be played with. You know, folks will be prophesying over folks' lives, and, you know, they just take it as nothing, take it as them just speaking little words of folks. Like, no, your words have power, man. Your words have power. That's why you got to be careful in what you say. That's why prophets have to have character. I'm going to tell you what makes a false prophet false. It's not in the fact that their prophecies may be off or whatever, you see, because let me tell you something. The prophet Agabus was off. He spoke of all prophecy. He did, for real, in the Bible. Amen. He did. He had said that the Jews would bind Paul and hand him over to the Gentiles, but what actually happened was that it was the Gentiles that bound Paul and handed him over to the Jews. You can read that in Acts chapter 21.
Mm.
So it wasn't that he was a false prophet. He just got the end part wrong.
Wow.
But the Bible never describes him as being a false prophet. So it ain't the fact that you have an off prophecy. It's about your character. That whole scripture I just read, talking about, praise God, the Antichrist spirit and false prophet, the whole half to the end part was talking about number love. Why? Because they don't have no love. Some cold folks, man. Some very manipulative folks, too.
Mm.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something else about this spirit, too. First of all, let me go here real quick. I'm going to go to Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to go to Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. So y'all can't say I'm a false teacher because I'm giving you scripture for everything you're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Did y'all just see that?
Mm.
That just proves what I said earlier. It says they profess that they know God, but in works deny him. So Antichrist is not just a saying that Jesus is Lord, all right? You got demons that will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You got demons that will prophesy. Hello? Remember the damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, the slave girl? And was following Paul and them, talking about, these are the men of the Most High God. These are the men of the Most High God. They come to show us the way of salvation. But the Bible says she was possessed with the spirit of divination. So we get so tricked and fooled by words. We get so tricked and fooled by somebody's gift. Don't you know that you can have the right word and the wrong spirit? Antichrist.
Mm.
It ain't just about your profession. You may profess that you know God, but do you know him in your work? Do you know him in your lifestyle? Does your lifestyle make a statement? when people look at you, what do they see? Do they see somebody just like them or somebody who stands out? Hello. I've had people come to me for prayer. Didn't even tell them I was saved or nothing. But they just knew. They just knew I was different. Oh, some folks don't like this. And the reason why some folks don't like this is because it's challenging them to change.
Mm-hmm.
See, some folks just don't like change. Some folks say they want to change, but don't want to get rid of none of the stuff that's keeping them from change. Amen. You got a boyfriend and he ain't saved, get rid of him. You know, I've seen most people fall trying to serve God, and they got boyfriends and girlfriends. And Lord, I don't know why I'm going here. Lord Jesus, you got me going here.
Somebody need that.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, Holy Ghost got me rolling tonight because I won't plan on going there. But you got folks that got boyfriends and girlfriends and they got all this stuff going on with them, and it's very hard for them folks to really serve God and be sold out. Why? Because they're so into each other. Lord, I'm not trying to go here, but you got me going here. They're so sold out to each other. They're so dedicated to each other. That when it comes time for God to require something out of them, they're so wrapped up in that man or that woman that they really can't be dedicated to God like they want to be, or like they need to be. Put it that way. So the thing about it is, the Bible says that if you're single, you're supposed to be attending to the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If you're single. Because when you're married, you worry about your spouse and how you're going to take care of your spouse. Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
See, ministry comes first if you're not married. But when you're married, your marriage comes before your ministry. Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
Devin, you already know where I'm going to go with this, right?
Yes, I do.
Your marriage comes before your ministry. My God.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know why, Lord Jesus, the devil is attacking marriages. You know why? You know why the devil is so easy and able to attack your marriage? Because you're not performing your duty as a husband or a wife. All right? You have no business running the house of God if your house is not in order.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it. Pastors, leaders, if your children is unruly, then you're not supposed to be in position in the house of God. You need to be at home taking care of your children and getting them straight. Got all these pastors, they churn going through all this stuff. Don't you know that you being a leader in the household of God, your child is first target? But you're so wrapped up in ministry. You're so wrapped up in doing stuff. You're so wrapped up in getting your ministry out, getting your name known that your family is falling apart. Your family is falling apart, man. Oh, I'm talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to somebody. You don't put no ministry before your family. Let me tell you something. Before God established the nation of Israel as a kingdom, before God established the church, he first established the family, man. He first established marriage. Yes, that's right. Your wife come before your church. Amen. You ought to be raising somebody else up to be in position in case you got to do stuff like this, take care of your family. Instead of trying to keep everything for yourself.
Mm.
That's how you know the folks in our kingdom are. Amen. And ladies, I love you, but before you try to be a pastor, make sure your husband is in position too.
That's right.
Oh, y'all gonna get mad at me.
Mm-mm.
Let me tell you something. That's out of order. And I don't care what nobody says. Don't get me wrong. God may use you because you're already in the position, and people are coming looking for God, all right? But you're still out of order. Hello. Amen. I'm going to take a whole talk show segment just to preach on that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a whole talk show segment just to preach on that, and I'm going to go through all the scriptures. I'm going to go through the Bible. Because the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. And he
that's
was talking
right.
to the, everybody talking about that's just for the home. I'm going to tell you something. He was talking to the church when he said it. Huh? He was talking to the church when he said it. Amen. I have nothing against women in the apostolic. Amen. I believe God is raising up apostolic women. Amen. But he will never make you an apostle over your husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's out of order. I don't care if your husband I don't care if your husband been saved 5 years. God can do a quick work, first of all. And second of all, amen, God is not going to unequally yoke. Your husband ought to be able to catch you in the spirit. Your husband ought to be able to cover you. How your husband going to cover you and you the pastor and he the deacon? He can't cover you. Huh? He can't cover you. Well, he don't want to do. Well, you need to get behind him and push him. I'm going to tell you something. You as a wife, your words are very powerful to your husband, regardless of whether he want to hear it or not. Your words are powerful, hear? Your words are powerful. Should nobody be coming to your husband and telling him he needs to take his place because you up there leading the pack. The devil is a lie. You're supposed to walk side by side with your husband, not be over him. That's scripture. Because there's certain things that God has graced a man to do that he has not graced a woman to do, and vice versa.
Amen.
There's certain things that God has graced women to do that us men just cannot do. See, some folks are mad at that. Some folks don't like that.
Mm-mm.
Because I'm going to tell you something. In this hour, the Lord showed me, in this hour as God is raising up women, he's raising them up to their proper place.
Yes.
Say that again. Alongside of their husbands, amen. God is raising up women, amen. He's raising up women. He is. I've seen some very powerful women, apostles at that, amen. God is raising them up. He's raising them up fast. But understand this: with every movement of God comes a false one too. And I'm gonna tell you about that in a second. But God, but also the enemy is tricking a lot of women of God too. To go ahead of their time or go ahead of their husbands because their husbands are not doing. I'm going to tell you something. You can only go as far as your head goes.
Mm.
And if you way ahead of the man of God, then guess what? You out of order. Because the Bible says the head of every man, the head of every man is Christ. And that word man in the Greek is the definition of the word husband. It's talking in the context of husband and wife, not necessarily man and women, period. It's talking about the marriage here. I'm talking about marriage. I ain't talking about, I'm not saying a woman can't be over a man. If that's the case, then the mother can't take part in raising her son. So you know that that's not the proper context for it. The proper context of the scripture is your relationship between the husband and wife. It's talking about the marriage and the household. It says the head of every man or husband is Christ, and the head of every woman or wife is the husband.
Amen.
Folks getting mad, but I don't care. I'm going to preach it. So if you're an apostle and your husband is a pastor or a minister, a deacon or whatever, then you out of order. Well, God told me to do this. He didn't tell you that. The Lord spoke it out of me. No, he didn't. Amen. Antichrist goes against the order of Christ, too. Did you know that? Huh? Antichrist goes against the order of Christ. Anything that Christ stands for. And God instituted marriage. in a specific way, in a specific design. And his blessing can only come when everything is in the everything is in its proper place, walking according to the original design that God said in the beginning. That's the only way it's going to be blessed. That's the only way your ministry is going to be blessed. Well, this is opening up for me, that's opening up. Well, that ain't God giving it to you. Huh? How you going to tell me that? Because God may move in your midst because of the people. But the thing about it is that God ain't blessing stuff, something that's out of order. And I'm going to tell you something. You want God to be with you, not with your assignment.
Mm.
You don't want God just to show up because people come looking for him. I want God to show up because he's with me, too. Huh. Oh, yes, I'm going to get a lot of emails on this. Praise God. Mm-mm. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, check this out, right? I'm going to go to, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to 1 John, the second chapter. I'm going to go to the second chapter now. Hallelujah. I like this. I really do. I love it. 1 John, the second chapter. I'm going to start at the 18th verse. It says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. Amen. I do think so. It says, they went out from us. Uh-oh. Check this out. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Did y'all just hear that? So it's saying that these antichrists went out from among the brethren. So they pretended like they were among the brothers, right? But it comes to find out later on that they were not of the brethren. Now, do that sound like somebody to you running around talking about Jesus ain't the Son of God? Not in their verbal speech, but in their actions and in their heart, they are antichrist. And this spirit is lurking among the brethren even now. Hello. It's still a prophetic picture of what we're living right now. Have you ever had a friend that you had going with you places and, you know, they flattering you, telling you that you all this and you all that, and, you know, they act like they're with you, but come to find out they really don't like you?
Mm.
Huh? But they're doing all this little nice stuff for you now. But then, once they show their true colors, come to find out they wasn't with you the whole time. They didn't like you the whole time. You ever had a friend like that? Well, how you think God feels? You got people that's in his church living double lives, living double standards. They flattering him with their lips. Tell me, oh, Lord, I worship you. They will cry, roll on the floor, speaking their little tongues, incantations, false tongues, saying all that the same. They speaking their little tongues, roll from the front of the church to the back of the church. We'll back. Come on now. We'll mop the floor with their clothes. But then come to find out they're not of God. How do you think God feels? And he sit high and he looking low and he know that you fake. But he still love you, doesn't try to give you a chance, but he know that you fake. How you think he feels? When you coming in the house of God, praising God, and then you going back home, and you listening to Jill Scott. Fantasia. You still listening to R. Kelly. You still bumping and grinding, and you ain't married to nobody. Huh? Hello? Oh, some folks mad because I'm in your record collection. Amen. I'm in your record collection. And, yes, I'm going to mention Tyler Perry's name, and I'm going to keep mentioning it until Madea's off air because that don't make no sense. Now, if he wasn't professing Jesus, I'd leave him alone. But every time he get a reward for Madea, he's talking about it's because of Jesus. I thank Jesus. Jesus didn't give you that. Hello. I know some of y'all like Madea with all that cussing, and the cussing has gotten worse over the years. The cussing has gotten worse. And we just sitting back laughing. Hee, 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 ha, ha. Don't you know there's a spirit behind it? That's an antichrist spirit. It comes among the brethren like it's of God, but it's really not of God. But it comes among the brethren, and it mimics what the brethren are doing. It mimics the Holy Ghost. You would not believe how many demons are cast out of folks that's in church since I've been in Virginia. My God. I mean, these are the ones that roll around, shout, run around the church, speaking in tongues. And then as soon as I pray for them, they manifest, start speaking in their tongues, and the Holy Ghost say, that's not of me. And then when I call it out, they start manifesting. Moving on the floor like snakes and growling and stuff. Huh? And you mean to tell me that you're of God and you got a demon in you that's making you move around and growl and all that other stuff? It's speaking out of you? And you're going to say you're of God, right? You're going to say that's the Holy Ghost got you moving and jumping and shouting, right? I beg to differ. That's a lie. Oh, some folks are mad now. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you. Come on now. Oh, my Jesus. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And ye shall know all things. That word unction is talking about the anointing. You look it up, it means anointing. You have an anointing from God that's supposed to rest on the inside of you to know all things. All things what? All things pertaining to what you need to know to be able to discern the difference between the true anointing and the antichrist false anointing that false prophets operate in. Because if you don't have no discernment, it'll look very similar. It'll look very similar. This spirit will call out your bank account number. It will call out all this stuff. Amen. It will call out all this stuff. And if you're not careful, that demon will lay hands on you, and you get this feeling all over you and make you fall out and everything, just like the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Don't you think that Satan know how the anointing works?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. In the Bible, it describes Satan when he was in heaven as Lucifer. It says that he was the anointed cherub that what? Covereth. That's the only angel I ever heard in the Bible that was anointed. Huh?
Mm.
He was the anointed cherub. So he was once anointed. So don't you know that he knows what the anointing feels like, what the anointing does, the ability of the anointing? Hello. So when he fell, don't you know that he knows that feel like he knows what the anointing does? So what do? He imitates. He imitates the anointing. And some of us are just so fooled by the anointing. Somebody that says that they have power, first thing we do, we flock to them without using no discernment. I'm not impressed by gifts. I've learned that over the years. For the last few years that I've been in ministry, I've learned not to be fooled by folks' gifts, because folks can prophesy, folks can lay hands. They can lay hands and people be healed and everything like that and still be false. Matthew 7, it says, not everybody says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but what he that doeth the will of my Father which is in who? Heaven, right? It says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name? Did we cast out devils in your name? Did we do so many wonderful works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for what I never knew you. So it ain't about gifts, because you can operate in the miraculous and still go to hell. Sometimes God will let you operate for the sake of the people that come. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these healing evangelists and these healing people that came up back in the day, a lot of them died very early. A lot of them died very early. You barely 40, 50 years old and you dead already. And in your 20s and 30s, you was working all these miracles. God was using you very powerful. Now all of a sudden you're dead. Let me tell you something. God's anointing is not to be abused. I think there was one guy, I don't know if it was Braham or whoever it was, but I read in a book by Lester Sumrall called Gifts and Ministry of the Holy Spirit. It talks about how this guy, he was a big-time healing evangelist back in the day. I think it was Braham something. I can't quite remember his name right now. And he went to Mexico somewhere, and God was using him very powerfully in these miracles, and he definitely had a powerful anointing for the healing of people who had this crippling arthritis. I don't know what it was called. I forgot what it was called, but it was very crippling, and people died from it. And God gave him a very powerful anointing in that. And he went to Mexico at a healing crusade that he was conducting, and the first thing he said was, ladies and gentlemen, the world is at my feet. And a year later, he died of the very same disease that God was using him to heal. A year later. Let me tell you something. Before God give you all that power, let me tell you something. Sometimes you operating in great power like that and you're abusing it, God will either have to take it from you or get you up out of here before you end up hurting somebody with that. Hello? Some folks don't think God would do it. I'll tell you something. Some of them apostles died early in the Bible, and they died a horrible death. Leave that alone. That's too deep for some of y'all. Amen. That's too deep. Amen. All right. It says you have an unction, right, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. But I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now, I just read to you that you can deny him, not you can confess him and acknowledge him in your speech, but you can deny him in your conduct. Isn't that what I just read in Titus? So that scripture there ain't just talking about you denying verbally that Jesus ain't the Christ. You walking like it. And leaders, if you walking like you're God, like you're supposed to be treated and respected as Christ, let me tell you something. You are anti-Christ. All right? You walking around, I know we all royalty in the spirit. In the spirit. Amen. I know we all royalty in the spirit, but you're not a God. Yeah? You are not God. You are representative of God. Amen. Just because you may have power of attorney in something does not make you the actual person. but you conduct business on behalf of the person as you was the person, but you're not the person. So there, the thing about it is that you always got that person over you, and that person can remove you. That's too deep for some folks. Because some leaders still want to be, let me tell you something. There's even leaders now, they got people bowing down to them. At ordination and all this other stuff, you got to lay prostrate before your pastor. The devil is a liar. You don't lay prostrate before me, you lay prostrate before God. Not no human being. When the angel of the Lord came to one of them prophets, I forgot who it was. I read it. The angel of the Lord came to the prophet, and the prophet fell down on his face, and the angel picked him right back up and set him right on his feet.
Mm.
And then they try to worship the apostle Peter and them, and the apostle Peter made him get up and say, hey, we're men just like you. Get up. Leaders got to be careful, especially ones that's operating in power, that you don't allow the people to deify you. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I was on Facebook one day, and, Lord, I was just browsing through it, and God must have wanted me to see it. Lord have mercy. There was this bishop. Y'all already know how I feel about the word bishop. But anyway, there was this bishop, and he had this big old fish hat. You know, like the hat the Pope wears, the little goofy-looking hat, you know, the fish hat, really is a pagan symbol of the head of Dagon, an ancient Philistine god. Anyway, a lot of that stuff is paganized. The Roman Catholic Church is a bunch of pagans. They need deliverance. I had to deal with that spirit, too. That's a strong spirit. But anyway, this guy was sitting on a big old throne. The throne was big. You could tell the chair was custom made and everything. A big old throne, and he dressed up like the Pope. I'm like, don't he look like an idiot? Don't he look ridiculous? I mean, ain't you hot? Ain't you hot with all that stuff on? Amen. I know I'm getting on your religious nerves, amen. But maybe they're going to insert that thing up so it can come on out of you.
Amen.
Because everybody, and now they got it all on their ordination. Antichrist. That's the Antichrist spirit. Don't you know that the Roman Catholic Church is Antichrist in nature? They deify Mary. Hello? Queen of Heaven. Ain't that Diana? Oh, yeah, see. The folks don't like that. Diana, Astaroth, hello, Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven is what the prophet Jeremiah told Judah not to worship. He said, don't worship the Queen of Heaven, right? You read it. And they were saying how, but as long as we offer to the Queen of Heaven, you know, drink offerings and make cakes for, we have everything that we need, but as soon as we stop, we don't. And God still told him, I admonish you this day, do not worship the Queen of Heaven. Huh? The same Queen of Heaven, Mary? It's the same spirit. And you're going to dress up like them, huh? Whose hat is a pagan symbol? I put on my Facebook page one time, I seen a hat that the Pope had on, and he had a big old hexagram on his hat. And everybody come out, that's the Star of David. David ain't never had no star. Lord, y'all gonna make me get on that. David ain't never had no star. Yeah? He never had no star. That is a hexagram. It's two pyramids merged together, okay? That is a hexagram. That is used in witchcraft, okay? You can ask a real-life Satan worshiper, witchcraft person who knowingly practices that witchcraft. And they will tell you that you cannot perform a successful ceremony without using that hexagram. There's no such thing as the Star of David. David never had it. Matter of fact, if you look it up, there's supposed to be the footprint of a demon or something they call it. I forgot what they call it. anyway is demonized because it's used in witchcraft. That's the same star that's on the Israel flag. Lord, y'all gonna make me go there tonight. And everybody talking about black Israel with a hexagram on its flag. I know some of y'all about to get mad right now. Y'all talking about he a replacement theologist. No. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that Israel is totally done away with. I don't believe that. But I do believe that they have to come to God the same way that the rest of us got to come to God. They don't get special privileges. That's what Jesus rebuked them for. When he said that, when Jesus was talking about bondage, and the Pharisees said, we're the seed of Abraham, we've never been in bondage to any man. Jesus said, whosoever practices sin is a servant of sin. And the Pharisees going to talk about, we are of our father Abraham. Jesus said, if you was of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham, but you are of your father the devil. So the Pharisees thought because of their physical descent that they had a special place or special privileges from God. The devil is a liar. If you read Ephesians, it talks about how the New Testament church consisted of Jews and Gentiles. That's all nations put together. There is no difference. Christ broke down the wall of division between us, making us one new man, right? And upon this church, the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church. And I'm gonna take time to really teach on that separately because we're so busy deifying Israel and we're so busy trying to bless a nation that denies the God that we serve. And they have more reason to believe in the God that we serve than we do. Because they had the law and the covenant first. So some folks are mad now because you're still sending your donations to the International Fellowship of y'all still sending that stuff to John Hagee and all them Christians United for Israel. And I'm just understanding there ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. But the thing about it is that if you look at it, and I'm going to get into it on another program. I really don't have time to really get into it tonight. But if you look at the Old Testament prophecies concerning Israel, you will find out that they were fulfilled in the New Testament by the church. Remember, the New Testament church consisted of Jews and Gentiles. And this is the Israel of God that they were talking about. So there's a scripture that's talking about the Israel of God. And the Bible says that in the book of Romans, it says not everybody that's physically descendant of Israel is Israel. See, everything was natural in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, after Jesus came, everything became spiritual, including the kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That means that it's not of this world. That's just plain and simple. The Bible also says that he who is a Jew is one inwardly. Talking about the circumcision of the heart. You no longer have to be circumcised naturally in the natural, but you got to be circumcised in your heart. All that in the Old Testament was types and shadows of what was to come. The Bible teaches that in Hebrew. Amen. So I'm going to really get into that next time, but some of y'all blessing Israel and y'all still ain't blessed yet. Amen. I tried to sow into Israel, but when I tried to do that, the Lord dried up everything where I couldn't sow. He was trying to show me something. Amen. And Israel is not cast off. Don't get me wrong. Israel is not cast off. Praise God. Israel is not cast off. All right? But they have the same way to salvation. They got to take the same way to salvation that we got to take. Amen. I don't know where folks get that teaching from. They got their theology and their eschatology wrong. Hello? Some folks got their stuff wrong. And some folks mad. Boy, some folks mad right now. But that's all right. I love you. Amen. I love you. Because we're going to get free. Amen. We're going to get free from this religious bondage and all these doctrines of devils and all these lies. Amen. All these lies. That's all these lies. Amen. Y'all keep listening to Perry Stone and all them. Don't get me wrong. Perry Stone talk about demons and stuff like that. I'm there with him. But when he starts talking about eschatology, I'm not there with him. I'm not there with him. Amen. I ain't quite there. Amen. It ain't wrong not to love Israel. You pray for Israel.
Amen.
But understand that in the New Testament, God considers Israel to be a spiritual people. You may have the physical nation of Israel, but they got to conform. Because you got plenty of Jews on their way to hell because they're denying Christ. You know, they still... Lord, have mercy. Let me leave that alone. Amen. Let me move on real quick. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Get ready to wrap this up in a minute. Amen. It says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. So what is God saying here? What have you heard from the beginning? He was talking to the people of that time. He was talking about the doctrine of the apostles. Amen. And also what Jesus Christ taught. Amen. The doctrine of the apostles. A lot of people that's not staying true to what the apostles taught. Amen. People not being true to what this Bible says. But they're taking it out of context. And we so busy going by what folks say. I mean, isn't it true? We so busy going by what people say. Oh, just because Perry Stone said it, it's true. Because he a man of God. Just because my pastor said it, it's true. Because he a man of God. So he must be right. The devil is a liar. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Amen. So you don't have to go with everything everybody say. You're supposed to look it up for yourself. Two, it's good to be taught, but it's good to study, too, on your own. Because the Bible also says that every believer is supposed to be able to teach. So in order for you to be able to teach, you got to know something, right? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. I really enjoyed teaching this today.
Mm.
I really enjoyed teaching this today. Amen. But we got to watch out. We definitely got to be careful of the things that we take in. We got to be careful of the things that we receive. You're not supposed to be able to receive just anything. Come on, now. You can't just receive anything anybody tells you, anything anybody does. And see, that's why I know personally, and Dad, you know me personally, that's why a lot of people really can't really, sometimes people don't understand where I'm coming from. People don't know why I'm the way that I am, because I'm not receiving anything that's not lined up with their word. And understand that I know that there are mysteries and things that are to be revealed. You see, and as apostles and prophets, the Lord will give us revelation knowledge concerning the hidden mysteries of the kingdom of God. But understand this, anything that blatantly contradicts the word of God, then we are not supposed to go for that.
That ain't God.
Amen. We're not supposed to go for that. Amen. God said the church is going to be victorious in this time here. Amen. In the ages, the Bible tells us and teaches us that we're in a time now where the kingdom of God is going to be advanced, and it is advancing. This is a time where the kingdom of God is being advanced in the earth realm. But you got a lot of folks teaching that this is going to be a time of horror, we're going to be scared, running for our lives. The devil is a liar. I don't care what the government got planned. Amen. You know how many folks plotted on Paul? Hello? And the angel of the Lord escaped them every time. Amen. But this is not a time to be afraid. This is a time to stand up and walk in the authority as believers, man. Stop listening to them folks talking about you're going to run for your life. That's a lie. And you get some intercessors that's on the wall praying against whatever the government or whatever these folks trying to do, praise God, then it can be stopped. There's proof all throughout the Bible that if we pray and we intercede, angels will be released. As a matter of fact, in this season, the Lord showed me that this is a season of very high angelic activity in the earth realm. It really is. You know, because the Lord is working some things and preparing some things and aligning some things up. Amen. Because now's the time to move forward in this thing. Amen. This is the season where, you know, the glory of the Lord is going to be shown and demonstrated in a very tangible way. Amen. And a lot of folks are going to be just like other Pharisees, talking about he do this by the devil, or she do this by the devil. I'll tell you something, you a devil to deny a person's life being changed and a person being healed or delivered or a person drawing closer to God or a person being stirred to seek God most. You a devil. Amen. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm just being honest. Amen. So I kind of had to come with a rod tonight because, not because I haven't been on talk show in a while, praise God, but because this is a time here that this is not a time that we need to be asleep concerning the things of God. And so many people are asleep concerning the things of God, and that's something that just should not be. Amen.
Amen.
Should not be. Praise God. So I'm going to cut this thing short in a little bit. Amen. But Jasmine, you got something you want to say?
Yeah, I just had one more thing that I really wanted to say. As I was beginning to study this out, and you know what the Lord showed me? He showed me that the spirit of the Antichrist, as well as the false prophets, their agenda is really to mimic or imitate what's going on in the godly order of the relationship between the apostles and the true prophets.
Wow.
Because, see, the apostles, you know, are governing things according to the word of the Lord. And, see, because of the imitation with the Antichrist spirit, you have people that look like they're doing things according to the will of God, but they're exalting themselves. They're really denying Christ. They're really not. Their mission isn't to establish and to further the kingdom of God. It's really to do their own agenda, as well as the same thing as when we look at the prophets and how a true prophet, they really act as the eyes and the ears of the church to help the people see and hear the things that God is trying to show them. Whereas with false prophets, they're really the eyes and the ears that help further the agenda of the Antichrist spirit. And so these are the things we really have to be mindful of. It's kind of like you touched on earlier. People hear, oh, this is a prophet. Oh, let me go here. And then you got all these people flying here and spending all this money and throwing all this money to hear all this stuff. And if it's something God want you to have, if we're walking according to the spirit, he's not going to let you miss that because somebody was preaching in California and you live over here in Texas. That's crazy. The spirit of God is everywhere. And we have to be mindful and we have to be attentive not to buy into these lies of the Antichrist spirit. Another thing that I wanted to touch on is you talked about earlier how, you know, you have anybody can really say that, you know, Jesus manifested in the flesh. That doesn't necessarily mean that they believe he is Lord. And one of the things that we have to be mindful of is this, as we said, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. And one of the things I've been noticing a lot is this whole thing about coexist. I don't know if you've seen that. But last year sometime, I was like, what is this? I kept seeing it on people's cars. They had bumper stickers, coexist, coexist. I said, God, what is that? And God said, look again. And then I looked, and I noticed the letters were symbols. I said, what is that? So I went home and Googled it and looked it up. And basically, for those of you that don't know, the whole idea of coexist is all the religions, you know, together on one accord, being under God, so to speak. You know, let's all get along whole thing. You know, it was a cross up there. It was a Buddhist symbol. It was some kind of a monk symbol for all these different religions. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, because the spirit of the Antichrist is saying, let's all get along. Let's not profess Jesus is the Son of God. You know, let's not profess the true and living God. Let's just all get along and mix everything together in a big melting pot and just say it's okay. We're going to take a little bit from this.
When you said that, it made me think about something. This spirit becomes tolerable of everything.
Yes.
It tolerates sin. It tolerates iniquity. It tolerates anything that's not of God. That's why people can feel comfortable listening to secular music and still saying that they're Christian. I'm going to tell you something. You're not a Christian and you're not saved if you still listen to secular music. You need to be delivered. God love you. He loves you, but you need to be delivered. Lord, you made me get up out of my seat on that one. I'm going to tell you something. If you still sexing, fornicating, and you ain't mad, you're not saved. You need to be delivered. Because the word salvation means to be delivered. And just because you said a sinner's prayer don't mean that you saved. A sinner's prayer don't save you. Let me put this lie to rest real quick. Give me about 5 minutes on this. I promise I'm going to try to take a couple of minutes on this. Let me tell you something. I told you about that word confess earlier. It means to acknowledge. Acknowledge does not deal just with your confession with your mouth, but it deals with your lifestyle and how you conduct yourself, right? Because if you truly know something, you believe it, and if you believe it, you walk accordingly. So when it says confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that word confess means to acknowledge publicly. So it deals also not just with your speech, but with your lifestyle. It's a two-part to that. You see, so the thing about it is that if you confess with your mouth and believe, it says, right, confess and believe. It goes back to acknowledging, confession and belief. A lot of people have the confession, but they don't have the belief, because if you believe it, you will walk accordingly.
Wow.
Confession. That word confess means to acknowledge publicly that Jesus is Lord. You shall be saved. So understand this, that word shall be means will be, right? That's a progressive word. First of all, that alone shows that you're not saved just by a sinner's prayer, because it says shall be. You shall be delivered. It's a process. Amen.
Amen.
As you begin to walk according to the things of God, as you begin to press into the things of God, come on, and then you begin to move in the grace of God, as you receive the gospel of the kingdom and begin to respond accordingly, then the spirit of grace comes over your life, and then deliverance begins to take place. Slowly but surely, then after a while you find out you don't smoke no more, you don't curse no more, you don't do all these things no more, you don't even desire secular music no more. Why? Because now you're moving in the grace of God and not insulting grace. Come on now, you're moving in grace instead of insulting grace. And then once you move in the grace of God, then God is able to do a work in your life and work you up to the place of salvation, because the Bible says, hello, that to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That is a progressive word. Work out is a progressive tense. So stop calling folks up to your altar, having them to say a sinner's prayer, because they're still leaving home demon possessed. They're still leaving the church, going home demon possessed. You don't know how many times I tried to say that sinner's prayer and I was still struggling with smoking. That don't save you, because the word salvation means deliverance. It means wholeness. It means peace. It means prosperity. It said, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Hello? So we so busy trying to get folks to confess a prayer when a prayer ain't gonna save you. Not no sinner's prayer. Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Stop. Stop. That's a bunch of foolishness, because you got some folks that's still coming up there. The Bible, Jesus didn't never tell nobody to repeat those sinner's prayer. You never heard the apostles say that. So you know that that's not the right context in which how people are teaching it. And I had a Baptist preacher try to argue me down one day, talking about you had to say it in order to get to where you are now. No. When God started moving in my life, I didn't say no sinner's prayer. Not when he first started moving in my life.
Mm-mm.
Huh? And later on, somebody tried to get me to say the sinner's prayer, but by then, God was already moving in my life. He was already shipping things for me. He delivered me in my sleep. I told God I didn't want to smoke no more. I woke up the next day, I didn't smoke near bit. I ain't smoked nothing. Hello? So the thing about it is if you want to get tired, if you keep saying, Lord, forgive me, and keep doing it, you're insulting the grace of God. But if you accept his grace and say, Lord, I don't want to do it no more, deliver me, then guess what? He going to take it away. However way you want to take it away. If you go receive deliverance ministry or do it on. He just did me at home, so he might not do you the same way. Then again, he might. However you choose to do it. My goodness. Oh, yeah, I know y'all mad because y'all got folks saying that sinner's prayer, and then you wonder why nothing's changing in their life. And to be honest, when you say the sinner's prayer, ain't nothing changing your life either. Some of y'all ain't say a sinner's prayer till later. I'm gonna leave that alone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave that deep. Oh, yeah.
My God. And, Apostle, I just got something else. I don't really know who this is for, but a lot of people have really been wounded by false prophets and false prophetic ministry. And I know even myself, because there were so many times people would, you know, come up to me and say this and this, and I'm like, okay, in my head, I'm like, that's not true. It was to the point where really I just almost wanted to throw up anyway. Anytime somebody said, oh, I got a prophetic word for you, or I got a word from the Lord, I just wanted to throw up, because I'm like, I'm tired of all these people lying. And see, the spirit of the false prophet has become effective in a way, because some people are to the point where they've been so wounded, scarred, and damaged by the false prophecy and the false prophetic ministry, that when the real thing comes along, they can't even receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, as the Bible says we should. So for those of you that have been in that position, I really encourage you to take that thing to God and allow him to search your heart and to really remove that stuff, and that he can give you discernment to be able to know when the real prophetic ministry is before you and when you have real prophets before you.
Amen. Because that scripture I'm going to read earlier, it says that the anointing that you have that abideth in you will teach you all things, and you won't have no man to teach you. Teach you what? Look at it in its proper context now, because a lot of people say, based on that scripture alone, I don't need nobody to teach me. The devil is a lie. If that's the case, then there would be no need for no apostles, no prophets, no pastors, no teachers, no evangelists, no next.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at it in its proper context. That scripture is talking about you won't, if you have the anointing of the Holy Ghost abiding in you, you won't need nobody to be able to teach you the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to discern the difference between true and false prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let's look at it in its proper context, y'all. Let's get out of this old prideful, self-righteous, religious talk. Amen.
This is why the false prophetic ministry is really able to couple itself with the spirit of the Antichrist. Because, see, when you have people that are not preaching and teaching the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. They're not teaching things in its proper context. So people don't know how to look up the word in the proper context, nonetheless discern a difference and know how to test spirits.
Uh-huh.
It's not being taught. There are people that really don't know any better. And really the leadership is at fault for that. And see, that's part of the problem there, because the word says not many of you should want to be teachers, for you are judged more strictly. But people are so caught up, again, the Antichrist spirit, not the kingdom agenda. They want a title just to be able to say whatever they want or to do whatever they want, that they're not realizing that what they're doing is crippling people.
Uh-huh.
Is leaving people captive to their own past, is leaving people captive and really almost as bait for the enemy, because they're not equipping them. You can't go to battle with no equipment.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's really something that we really need to be mindful of, and this is really a call to the leaders to really get in position, to really get in place. Because what, you know, we do as leaders is not just affecting us. Again, it's affecting people. There are a lot of people that God is getting ready to send to the church. My God, he's getting ready to send a lot of people that, you know, were like myself and many others who really didn't know anything about God. They wasn't raised up in church. They just coming. And so they have no prior knowledge or background or anything. It's almost like a blank slate. And if we're not in position to really train these people and equip them and to teach them the word of God in its proper context, then we're letting the enemy have his way. So we really need to get in position on this thing, because the enemy and the spirit of the Antichrist and the false prophet, none of this stuff is going to, you know, push itself to the side just because this person doesn't know any better. If anything, that makes them more of a target.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
Amen. You said a mouthful there. You said a mouthful. Let me tell you something. People are in such a rush to get a position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. Before, the thing about it is that the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. You know, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents and the deadly things. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right?
Mm-hmm.
If, Lord have mercy, some folks need to go back to being believers. It says these signs shall follow them that believe.
Jesus.
Some folks need to go back to being a believer. Before you can be an apostle or prophet, you first have to be a believer. You got some believers that got more power than these.
Uh-oh.
You got some believers. They got more power than a lot of these apostles and prophets out there.
Oh my God.
Man, I done seen some powerless, I ain't trying to be funny, but I done seen some powerless apostles, man. Don't cast out demons. You got Jezebels running rampant in the church. Why? Because, first of all, they won themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Jezebel can cast out Jezebel. I'll give it, say something on that, but then I have to think about it. But the thing about it is that if you're a leader and can't cast out a demon, then you need to sit down.
That's right.
You need to sit down and sit under somebody. Mm-hmm. You can't lay hands on the sick. Something wrong. But the Bible says that if anybody's sick among you, let them call for the pastor of the church. Let them call for the eldership. Elder, pastor, same thing. Same thing, no different function. So y'all can get, Lord, I'm going to teach on that. There's a whole lot of stuff I got to teach on. But let me tell you, you're supposed to be able to cast out a demon. You're supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick. Hello? That's part of the preaching of the gospel, is the casting out of demons and laying hands on the sick for them to be healed. Along with the preaching of the kingdom comes that. Jesus told, when Jesus released the 12 as apostles, he said, look, I want you to preach the kingdom and cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, all of that. Amen. So you, anywhere in the fivefold ministry, can't cast out a demon, you need to go back to being a believer before you try to be a pastor or a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
If demons are not being cast out in your ministry, You still got little folks running around there that's demonized and possessed, and you can't cast it out? Something wrong. You need to go back to the drawing board of being a believer before you try to be an apostle or a pastor. Amen. Because folks should be getting healed in your ministry. Folks
That's
should be,
right.
You should be getting delivered in your ministry. Every man and woman of God is supposed to have a healing and deliverance ministry. Everybody talking about healing and deliverance is not my ministry. That's a lie. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ, healing and deliverance. That's all he did. He preached the kingdom and cast out devils and healed the sick. That's all Jesus ever did. That's all the apostles ever did. So if we're supposed to be patterning ourselves after them, then we're supposed to be doing what they did. Hello? Some folks can't catch a flea off a dog. And then you wonder why stuff not moving, or you having a hard time, or you wonder why you still going through stuff. Because you don't got no authority, you don't got no power. The average believer is supposed to be walking in authority and power. The average believer. In this season, I've seen it too. The Lord is using babes in this season. I'm talking about people that are fresh into this thing. Fresh, delivered, and everything. And it's not going to take them long to be raised up either.
Mm-mm.
I'm talking about people that's been saved 6 months to a year, already delivered, receiving the message of the kingdom, and going forth and casting out devils.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Tell me it don't take God long. Now, I'm not saying you become an apostle in 1 year. That's a lie from hell. Let me just clarify that real quick, because you got some folks been saved 1 year and they think they're an apostle. Hello, they think they're a prophet. You may be prophetic, but the ministry of the prophet, along with the ministry of the prophet, comes the mantle of the prophet. And just because you are prophetic, don't mean you're a prophet. We got to be careful with that.
Amen.
Hello? Hello? So the thing about it is that just because God raised you up fast, you got to let these people experience freedom in the kingdom, man, before you try to stick them somewhere in a position. You are an apostle, and you've been going to church 1 year, but you are an apostle, right? You are apostate. You're not an apostle. You're an apostate. And whoever put you in the position of our apostle ought to be kicked. No, forgive me, was I supposed to say that on the air? I'm serious, man. That Lord have mercy. I never seen so many man-made apostles in my life.
And that's dangerous in itself.
And everybody's talking, yeah, exactly. And everybody's talking about, well, I've been through this. What? You may have been through some things within that 1 year. But let me tell you something. You know, you may have been through some. The average believer goes through for their faith.
That's right.
Huh? What? The average believer goes through in their faith, okay? They go through because of their faith. Because you are in the kingdom, you are a primary target, whether you are an apostle or a businessman or layman or whatever they call it, lay people or whatever. You know, kingdom citizen, put it that way. Yeah. So the thing about it is that you're going to go through anyway. Well, you don't know what I've been through. So that qualifies me to be an apostle. Sit that down. Okay, calm down, Apostle. Amen. I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I bless the Lord today. Because he is so wonderful. Amen. And I love him so much. Amen. Get ready to wrap this up in a little bit. Amen. Get ready to wrap this up in a little bit. But trying to wrap it up, but my spirit is still stirred. Amen. My spirit is still stirred. Amen. My God.
Amen. And, you know, Apostle, see, the thing is, because a lot of us are buying into this spirit of the Antichrist and these false prophets, we're not operating at the level we're supposed to operate in. It's like you touched on earlier, how, you know, about the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the apostles, but greater works than he shall we do. We're not even doing works as great as he. So we're operating well below what it is we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. You know what? You know that reminded me of what I said a couple months ago. I said this. I said that in order to do, you can't do greater works until you do the first work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you get somebody healed here and there, don't mean that you are operating in greater works.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. What a lot of these pastors and these leaders are operating in right now is borderline failure. It really is. It's borderline failure. Because I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean that to degrade any leader, because you got some leaders out there that don't know except what God teaches them, and they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But the church as a whole is operating borderline failure. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because them apostles took city. Them apostles took city. I'm telling you. And the scripture is proven. They converted whole cities to God. Huh? They weren't the most popular men in the world, but the ones that was hungry came out seeking God and they found him. So the thing about it is that we so busy trying to fill our church instead of building the kingdom and fill up the kingdom. Because just because you go to church don't mean you're in the kingdom. Hello? My God. So the thing about it is that greater works, what did they do back then? Man, let me tell you something. Them apostles took cities for the kingdom of God. They took cities. They converted government officials. Didn't they? Hello? They stood before great men in the natural and preached the gospel. Converted political folks. Converted centurion soldiers. But what are we doing? We preaching to the same folks every Sunday some message that we done mustered up.
Mm.
Or something that false anointing gave us to keep the people comfortable.
Jesus.
No, I'm not trying to keep you comfortable. I want you to be so uncomfortable that you get up and you do something for the kingdom. You a believer? Find somebody to pray for if you're a believer. Find somebody to pray for. I've been saying this for a long time, and Devin, you've been seeing this. We've been seeing legs grow out. We've been
mm-hmm.
seeing people. We've been seeing people be healed, and we've been seeing casting out demons and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Now I want to head for the folks that's in the wheelchair.
Yep.
Hello. Because if God can heal cancer, if God can cast out a devil, if God can grow a leg out, he can raise somebody out the wheelchair.
That's right.
Then from there, I'm going to the funeral home. And I'm serious. I'm crazy like that, y'all. I'm going to the funeral home next. Hello. And I'm going to lay my hands on them dead folks. And I'm gonna believe God to raise him from the dead. Hello? Isn't that what Jesus did?
Yes, he did.
Put him to the test. Put his word to the test. Be like, God, you said this, folks. This is what I'm doing. Hello? Oh, yes. We get ready to see a real huge movement of the raising of the dead. Oh, yes, we are. It's going to be the people that's operating in the kingdom of God that's doing it. Hmm. Oh, yes, some of y'all listen to me and are thinking I'm crazy. I'm going straight to the funeral home. I might hit the funeral home up first before I get to the Pope for a person in the wheelchair. Whichever one comes first, I'm telling you. Hello. And y'all gonna hear about that testimony too. Show it. Isn't that what Jesus and the apostles did?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Isn't that what they did? Hmm. But some of us don't have that kind of faith. I do. I'm crazy now. Jasmine didn't know me. I'm very persistent.
Mm.
I'm very persistent when it comes to something like that.
And the funeral homes is right close by you, too. A whole bunch of them.
It sure is. And I'm going to pay every last one of my bills. Oh, yes, we're going to have to arrange that next week, Jasmine. I'm serious.
Okay.
We're going to have to arrange that next week. Sure is. I'm going. So, you may not have, y'all may not have no faith to believe, but I do. Amen. I'm an apostle. I'm supposed to be able to raise the dead. Huh? If God told
Amen.
Me I'm an apostle, I'm supposed to be able to raise the dead, right?
Amen.
If you're a prophet, you're supposed to be working in miracles, signs, and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry follows the prophet, too. Prophets raise the dead in the Bible, too. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, that's what the Bible says.
That's what it says.
That ain't just what Apostle Lionel Blair said. That's what the Bible says. He's supposed to lay hands on sick. But, Jasmine, you know what the problem is, though? The church
what?
Is so comfortable. The church has got
mm-hmm.
so comfortable in their beautiful chandeliers and their churches.
With the air conditioning. Carpet, plush seats. You know, the nice pews and carrying on. Then they got them big chairs that look like they belong somewhere. You know, all this nice stuff that we just got so used to stuff and the natural material things that have made us comfortable in the church that nobody wants to go out and do ministry anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody wants to go. No, we're not saying you got to go all travel around the world. If you ain't called to be going around the world, fine. But everybody got a local Walmart. Everybody got a local doctor's office. Everybody got a local hospital. Everybody got a local Walgreens, a little some kind of store, some kind of park, a school, something that you can go to and minister to people.
Uh-huh.
You ain't got to get on no plane and go to Africa or China or wherever. It's somewhere where everybody got a neighbor. You live in an apartment complex. You live in a neighborhood, something. There is some kind of somewhere where you can go and meet some people that need to be ministered to.
Let me say this real quick. Let me say this. You brought a very key point. Everybody talking about going to Africa. How you going to go to Africa if you ain't making no impact in America?
That's right.
How are you going to go to Africa and your neighborhood not converted? Nobody in your neighborhood has been impacted by your ministry, but you want to go to Africa. I ain't even trying to see Africa until I see Hampton, Virginia transformed. I don't want to go to Africa and try to establish. I might go there to visit, but not try to establish no work when the work here is undone. Huh? The thing about it is, you see, you have no kingdom mentality. Because if you had a kingdom mentality, then you will be seeking God on how it is that I can advance the kingdom in this region in which you have called me to. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
And Apostle, it's funny that you say that because when I was in school, I had a chance to talk to a couple of people who are actually from different places in Africa. And one of the gentlemen that I talked to, he's from Sierra Leone, and he was saying how a lot of people from his village and some of the surrounding villages where he was at, they actually felt apprehensive about people coming there to minister and bring them the message of Christ. And that was the first thing they said. Why aren't you ministering to people in America before you come here? Why are you coming all the way here when you're not even ministering to people where you're at?
I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's talking about going to Africa, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest move of God is happening in Africa. They don't want to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell you that on TV. But I'm going to tell you something. They are experiencing the glory of God the dead being raised is more common over there in Africa than it is here. Why? Because we're so Americanized and so we're so democratic and republic. Hello. Instead of being theocratic, that's the rule of a king.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. We so busy want to make our own rules instead of following the rules of God. See, in Africa, they self-sacrificing over there. Why? Because they don't have the stuff that we have. All they got is God. But see,
mm-hmm.
we got all this stuff. We got television. We got internet. We got all this stuff to distract us. How about Shando to Bastia?
Yes.
We got
yes.
all this stuff distracting us, man. We got all this stuff distracting us from the kingdom. We can't operate in the kingdom because we fall, man. Americans are spoiled. That's why I've been praying to God lately, man. I'm like, Lord, geez, I don't need to be watching a whole bunch of TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a whole bunch of TV now. My Lord. Father, is Angie on the line?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today, woman of God?
All right.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
I just need prayer and just speaking the Lord with God and my family and just different things. And I just need to hear a word from them.
Amen. Amen. All right. Ah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. My Lord. Father, I lift up Prophet Angie right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, you see all, you know all, you know all about her. Father, you know what's standing in front of her, Father, that's keeping her from that thing in which you have shown her. But, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, I command every obstacle to be removed in Jesus' name. Father, I speak clarity right now and direction because, Father, she is a prophetess and you speak to her. So, Father, I speak clarity and direction in Jesus' name. And that thing that which you have shown her, Father, it is near to come to pass. But, Father, I'm seeing an obstacle that's in her way. I'm seeing something that's blocking her from getting to the place where you have shown her that she's going to be. My God. And what's on the other side of that barrier I see is a certain promise that God has, my Jesus, that the Lord has made to you. The Lord spoke something to you. He's shown you something. But what I'm seeing is a barrier. Something is not necessarily a barrier. It's like a wall of something I see in my vision right now. But, my God, but I hear the word persistent prayer and travail will break down these walls. Break down this wall here. My God. This is, you probably heard this before, but you just got to continue to press. God is with you here. God
mm-hmm.
is with you, and he's going to fix every injustice, and he's going to fix everything that has been done and said about you. He's going to clear all the lies. He's going to clear up all the lies. He is here. He's going to clear up all the lies. And every entanglement and things that is trying to grab hold to you to stifle you in the ministry that God has called you to, the Lord is breaking those entanglements.
Uh-huh.
He's breaking those entanglements. I don't know what I'm saying makes sense to you, but I can only speak what I see.
Okay. I perceive it.
I'm speaking what I'm seeing right now. And it's like you're trying to push forward, but you're
mm-hmm.
running to like a wall. I'm seeing you. It's like you're running, and you encounter a wall, and it's like you're pushing a wall, and it won't move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I see you in a position of kneeling in prayer, almost like with your head to the ground in between your legs almost. It's like a a ball like position. I just see you travailing and praying. Prayer and travail is what's going to break down this wall. And as
I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you pray and travail, I see this wall crumbling down. Matter of fact, I see a split in the middle, and I see it crumbling from that split in the middle. And I see it, and I see literally a clear pathway for you, a clear pathway for you, because you got some stuff that's around you right now to try to keep you from seeing. But the thing about it is God has already showed you where you need to go from the beginning. He's already given you the vision from the beginning. He's already given it to you. So the thing about it is that now something is trying to block you from your vision. And really it has a lot to do with soulish prayers of other people, and it has some things to do, soulish prayers from other people and different people with wrong types of spirits. And then the enemy also wants to discourage you in some things too. He wants to discourage you, but the devil is a liar. I speak to your spirit for you to be encouraged in Jesus' name. Yeah, so you just continue here to pray. It's not going to be this way for long. It's not going to be this way for long, but I see your victory in prayer and travail because the Lord has called you to burst forth some things. And right now it's like you're pregnant in the spirit. That's why you've been experiencing all this opposition and all this warfare. Also, because we're getting ready to burst forth some things. Yeah,
okay.
You're getting ready to burst forth some things. Matter of fact, the Lord says that you're bursting forth destiny. Destiny. Destiny.
Praise
destiny.
God.
Yeah, so a woman of God, your position of victory is in prayer and travail. That's my God. That's where everything is going to be released to. All the entanglements and all that's going to be broken, and all the and the wealth that you need to accomplish this thing. This thing that God has shown you. Mm-hmm. That's going to be released to in this position of victory of a prayer and travail.
Okay. Praise God.
Oh,
well, I receive it.
Amen. But Father, I speak peace over her right now in Jesus' name, Father. Father, I ask, Father, that you even increase her hunger the more, Father. Father, I just ask, Father, that you would engulf her in your presence, Father. Let your glory fall in her dwelling place in Jesus' name, Father. I speak peace to that atmosphere now in Jesus' name. I bind up all spiritual warfare that is not of God, and I command that it cease now in Jesus' name. I command it to break in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name. Father, my God. In Jesus' name, Father, it is so. I release the angels of God now to go into the atmosphere and break up all that stuff. In Jesus' name. Amen. You've had a lot of warfare over you, but I believe that the angels of the Lord are working on your behalf.
Okay.
They're working on your behalf, so that you can have clear direction as God speaks to you and deals with you Himself. Because this is a long time with you and God, and sometimes prophets go through that season with just you and God. And you're in that kind of season right now.
You said what, a season of what now? Say that again.
Oh, you are in that season right now. A lot of times prophets go through that season of that alone time with God.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I just read Jeff 18. Says I need prayer, physical healing for my neck, spine, and shoulders and back. Guest 18, if you can call in, Guest 18, I would greatly appreciate if you can call in. Amen. If you can, let me know. And Jasmine, did you have anything for Prophetess Angie? Did the Lord show you anything?
No, I didn't have anything for her other than just to stay encouraged and in that season, in the season you're going into now, just to really remain focused. It's almost like God is hiding you in this season, but it's so that he can really nurture you and grow you.
Okay. I receive that.
Amen. Amen. Wow, and while I've heard the Holy Ghost say this too, let not your heart be troubled, and let not your heart be weary. Weary. Let not your heart be weary. I don't know what that quite means to you, but I just heard the Holy Ghost say that when she said that. So I just caught that in the spirit, and I just spoke it. But let not your heart be weary, and let not your heart be troubled. Yeah.
Okay.
Mhm. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Who is guest 18? Are you on the line? Amen. Guest 18, the one that said that they need physical healing for their neck, their spine, and their shoulders and back. If you could call in, I greatly appreciate it. When people ask for physical healing on the line, I prefer if they call in if they can. If not, I can pray for them over the airways, because there's no distance in the anointing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, they said their phone doesn't have a charge.
What is that?
Guest 18 said their phone doesn't have a charge.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's cool. What I want you to do is, first of all, I want you to take your right hand and lay your hand on where that neck is hurting. And once you have done that, let me know that you have done that, and I'm going to pray for it here. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak of the ache, pain, discomfort, Father, every injury in Jesus' name, every cause of it, Father, and I command that it go in Jesus' name. I rebuke all pain in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, I decree and declare guest number 18 healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Father, I release your healing virtue and your healing power in the area of the neck in Jesus' name, in the area of the neck in Jesus' name, in the spine, in the shoulders, in the back. The spine, the shoulders, and the back. Amen. Kim. Kim is your name. Amen. Father, I decree healing over Kim right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke all infirmity in Jesus' name. I rebuke all spirits of infirmity, and I command that it reach her body. I speak healing now in Jesus' name. Healing now in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that it's done. Father, let your kingdom come into that situation. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Father, you said by your stripes, Jesus healed. All right, how does it feel now? Let me know how it feels now. Amen. Hot. Amen. That's what God is healing it right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You feel it in your neck, your spine, and your shoulders and your back. You feel it in all those areas. I feel the level. Yes. He says yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I speak 100% total healing in the area of the neck, the spine, the shoulders, and the back. Amen. And I command that it all lines up totally and completely with the kingdom of God. Even I see a creative miracle that the Lord is doing now, a creative miracle in your spine area. So I don't know what happened with that, but the Lord is realigning some things in that neck and that spine area I'm seeing right now in Jesus' name. He says it feels like those areas are being lubricated. Amen.
Mm.
Being lubricated with the fire of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I praise God for that healing right now. In Jesus' name, Father. Oh, she said she had a car accident. Thank you, Father. She had a car accident. Your spine wasn't crooked or nothing like that, was it? I heard the Lord said he's doing a creative miracle with that. With your spine. They want it to be surgery. Amen. Well, you won't need it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You ain't going to need it now. Have them to research that again. Yeah. Just have them to examine that again. They wanted to do surgery, but you ain't going to need no surgery. I refused the surgery because I said God was going to heal me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's some faith there. That's why God healing you now.
Amen.
Say like Jesus said, it was your faith that made you whole. Amen. That's how you put a demand on the anointing, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I had four herniated discs in my neck and fluid in my spine. Glory to God, I would like to sue it. No, I don't have a P.O. box. I tell you what, do you have like a Facebook or something? Because I can inbox you my information. Hallelujah. Well, okay, I sure will email you. Amen. I will email you. Amen. I bless God for your healing. I really do. Amen. And I'm going to give you my email address, too. I'm going to write it in the chat room. All right, my email is in the email is in the chat room. Bless God for your healing. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. See, I love stuff like this. Amen. I thank Jesus. I love healing.
Amen.
I love healing. See, that's the kingdom right there. That's the kingdom. Amen. And I didn't have to yell and. Amen. It just the Lord just did it. Amen. The Lord just did it right there.
Amen.
I bless God for him. Amen. Because he, Lord knows. Lord knows. Apostle Blair can't speak and do nothing. Amen. Without God.
Thank you, God,
for that healing. My God, I bless God for that. I love healing. I do. I really do. Amen. I love deliverance and healing because it restores the people of God. Amen. I know the Lord did a creative miracle with that. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Ken. Amen. Anybody else have anything that they want to say or add before, amen, before we wrap this up? Yes, 19, this is LaToya. Amen. How you doing, LaToya? You just missed the healing. Amen. LaToya loves healing too, y'all.
Well, Apostle Blair, I think it's time for you to set up a PayPal account and connect it to your doctor.
I plan on trying to get a PO box because I'm getting some legal things done with the ministry right now. So, you know, sometimes it takes time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting some legal things done with the ministry, but it's coming along. It's almost actually to a completion, actually. Almost to completion, but it's just been a long, strenuous process, and the enemy really been fighting, you know. So that's how I know that this is of God, amen. And I got some things coming up too that I'm gonna be telling you all about soon. I got some things in the working right now. I will make those announcements when everything has been finalized, amen. But God is moving down here. Not only in Virginia, but in other places as well. Amen. And we're just going to see what the Lord is going to do. Praise God. We're going to see what the Lord is going to do. Amen. But honestly, I appreciate everything that God is doing in this hour. And, you know, one thing about it is, you know, let me say this too, because since people are really want to sow into this ministry. Everything that's sold into this ministry is for the ministry. Say that again. Everything that's sold into this ministry is for the ministry. Ain't nothing going in my pocket for my own personal stuff. Amen. I got a job for that. Amen. I got my own job with me. I make my own money for myself. To buy the physical things that I need. Amen. So anything that's set aside for the ministry or anything that's donated to the ministry is for the ministry. Amen. God bless God for that. Amen. Praise God. But if there's nothing else that anybody want to add, I'm going to close this thing out. Amen. Amen. Who is this chosen for this? Who is this?
My name is Cassandra.
Cassandra?
Yes.
Cassandra, how did you hear about the show? You were just browsing through TalkShoe or through Facebook?
I was browsing through TalkShoe and I came across your page, and I've listened to a few of the archives when I saw it on Facebook tonight.
Okay. Well, Cassandra, can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
My Lord Jesus, you have an awesome ministry on the inside of you. The Lord is going to use you very mightily in this season, believe it or not.
Amen.
You have seen a lot. You have. Yes. You have seen a lot, and some things have made you kind of like turn away from some things.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that, you know, the reason why the enemy wanted to turn you away from some of those things, well, let me put it this way. Just because somebody else did something that was not godly with their gift,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean the gift itself is not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I was telling somebody the other day. I was typing on somebody's page. They were talking about how these prophets, how they call out social security numbers. And they call out all this stuff. I said, well, you know, I agree, but I didn't agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the gifting of the word of knowledge is real. And
yes.
It does not say that the gifting of the word of knowledge can't be used in a certain capacity.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, the gifting of the word of knowledge, you know, is supposed to be used to build people's faith, not in the vessel, but in the God that's using the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
because the vessel is always supposed to bring glory and honor back to Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will always give glory to Jesus. But see, the thing about it is that you have people that abuse and misuse their gift for personal gain.
Yeah.
And then they start operating in another spirit,
mm-hmm.
but still able to function in that capacity.
Yes.
Now, it don't mean the gift itself is not real, because somebody have ran and discredited altogether the prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have a prophetic gift in you as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that if we have something going on where, you know, that we don't really respect the gift because of something that's been done, then we can't operate fully in it ourselves in the way that God desires to use us. Am I hitting home yet in what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You see. So, in this hour, God is raising you up, and He's sending you forth. But He's going to deal with that because I really feel some kind of like some wounds in ministry,
mm-hmm.
some wounds in ministry. Some of the things that you have been through and seen,
mm-hmm.
there's some wounds in ministry that the Lord needs to heal, because see, you're called to ministry yourself. See, God has raised up a whole new breed of leaders. He is, because the ones that most of the ones that's out here now is not really doing their job. That's why the world is in such a rut that it's in now, because nobody's demonstrating the kingdom. Nobody's preaching the kingdom. Nobody's demonstrating the kingdom. Nobody's doing none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a lot of leaders that's wounding people, you see, and the Lord is going to heal that part, you know, that's going on, you know, with you.
Mm-hmm.
And also the ones that you know that's been affected by it too, the Lord's going to use you to bring a healing and deliverance to them too.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the Lord is calling you to be a great leader. That's why some of a lot of the things that you have experienced have been with leadership. So in this hour, the Lord is dealing with you. He's already dealing with you with some things now.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants you to be still and let him deal with those areas in your heart here.
Amen.
He wants you to be still and let him deal with those areas in your heart.
Amen.
Because the way that God desires to use you, until those things are completely gone, he can't use you the way that he desires to. Because he may use you now to a certain capacity, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the Spirit of God is working in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that the way that he just desires to really use you
mm-hmm.
is in a big capacity. And the thing about it is that, you know, those things are like barriers
mm-hmm.
that's keeping God from operating in certain areas of your life.
Okay.
So God is going to deal with those areas in your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, He is. He's going to deal with those areas. And the Lord told me to tell you that he loves you. He loves you,
mm-hmm.
and he's gonna make things right. He is. He said he's gonna make things right for you. Yeah. But the thing about it is that you just have to continue to just submit to the process and just let him do what he got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he's gonna make it right. He's gonna make it right. There's nothing that you have to do. Here, yeah. There's nothing that you have to do on your own efforts. Here, yeah. God said he gonna make it right. All right. So you have nothing that you have to worry about. You have nothing you have to stress over. You have nothing to fear. How did you get fear? You have nothing to fear. Here, yeah. That fear is not of God. I rebuke that over your life in Jesus' name. I command that fear to leave in Jesus' name. Leave you and your household now in Jesus' name. I take authority over that fear, because I feel fear. I don't know what all that consists of, but all I know is what the Holy Ghost is showing me. Fear. I rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. Fear. So I'm gonna tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. You're very valuable to the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy tried to crush your spirit. He did. He tried to crush your spirit. But the devil is a liar. Because God has quickened your spirit to come alive unto the things of the kingdom. And see, the thing about it is, the kingdom somewhat has been engraved in your spirit. You see, that's why you can't get with modern churches either. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you can't get with everything everybody's doing, even though everybody try to involve you in it. You can't get with it. I mean, even when you try to tolerate it for a while, you don't feel right. You don't feel right. You see what I'm saying? Because you was not built for that. You was not built for that, yeah? I'm going to tell you something. You are blessed and everything about you is blessed, yeah? Remember that. You're blessed and everything about you is blessed, yeah? I don't care what the devil talking about. I don't care what folks talking about. Let them talk.
Amen.
You are who God said you are. So you're not built for regular church. So you're not going to be accepted. Your gifting is not going to be accepted. You're going to never be able to move forward in just random regular old church. This thing is about the kingdom.
Yes.
It's about the kingdom, and you know it is. I'm going to tell you something, too. Don't be surprised if God starts cutting some folks away from you. He's going to cut some things and some folks away from you. But one thing about God is, whenever he cuts away, slowly but surely, I'm telling you slowly but surely, because as soon as God cuts the folks away from you, the devil might send some more folks. So you got to be worried. Not worried, but you got to be discerning. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You don't got to be worried.
Mm-hmm.
That won't even come out of my mouth. You have to be a discerning, discerning of who tries to get close to you. You really do.
Yes.
Because of your ministry. Your ministry. You see what I'm saying? Because God is getting ready to set you free. It's like a bird that's been caged for so long.
Yes.
And it has to get used to flying. You got to get used to the environment outside of the cage. You got to get used to being free, because they don't know what it's like to be free, because it's been raised up in captivity all its life.
Yes.
So the thing about it is, I see you like that caged bird that's being let out of the cage, and you're like, Lord, where do I go now? It's like, where do I go now? You know, it's so free. There's so many places to go, but I don't know where to go. God said he's getting ready to give you direction. My God. I bless God for you. I really do. I rejoice with God over you, because God is rejoicing over you. I'm telling you, because you are getting free. You are getting free. You're getting free. The one thing about the prophetic word, it liberates too. A lot of people use it to tear down, but it liberates. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So I'm gonna tell you something. God is releasing some burdens off you now. He is. I feel him doing it, and you probably feel God lifting some stuff off you too.
Yes.
Tell you something. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Yes.
My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Anything that makes you feel like you're so loaded down that you can't function, that ain't God. That ain't God. Anything that causes confusion, God is not the author of confusion. So I feel confusion that's been around you, but it's no more after tonight in Jesus' name.
Yes.
There's no more tonight in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you're going to be able to sleep like a newborn baby tonight in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Jesus. Because I don't know if you've been having trouble in your sleep or not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the devil is a liar. I decree a peaceful rest over you in Jesus' name. A good night's rest without you waking up in the middle of the night and being disturbed. And I speak to that atmosphere in your house, too. And I command that it clears up right now in Jesus' name. I speak a liberty over you and a shield of protection around you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And that presence that be in your room at night, I rebuke it.
Thank you, Jesus.
That thing that be in your room tonight, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And the angel of the Lord goes and it smites it out your room in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Liberty. Liberty.
Thank you.
Liberty in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
I see peace and rest over you. Father, let your kingdom come right where she is.
Thank
let
you.
Your kingdom come in Jesus' name.
Thank
your kingdom
you,
come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come.
Get
you're
Jesus.
Being liberated. You're being liberated. You're being set free right now.
Get Jesus.
You're being set free right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anything that's not of God, I call it off of you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are free. Yeah. And you don't let nobody else put you back in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that. Don't let nobody put you back in bondage.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Thank
folks
you,
will try to take you back. Like, uh-uh. I ain't going back there. I love you, but I ain't going back there.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you try to take you back there, then you already know what to do.
Yes.
Folks do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Woman of God, I bless God for you. You're very gifted. You're very gifted. You're very gifted. And your gifts are going to make room for you, yes?
Yes, sir.
Your gifts are going to make room for you. They really are. They're going to make room for you. And
thank
you. Right now, the Lord is developing you, and it's not going to take them long. It's not going to take them long. You know. You have a family?
Yes.
You're married?
No, just I have a daughter.
Yeah, cool. Wow. How old is your daughter?
She's 13.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's been going through some things. Next time you talk to your daughter, tell your daughter that Jesus said it's going to be all right, yeah?
Okay.
You tell your daughter. You can even tell her that you talked to me, and I heard the Lord say to tell her that Jesus said it's going to be all right. And
okay.
And he got her.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, 13 years old, you know, you kind of go through some things internally.
Yes.
So we want to know if God hears or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep. Wow.
Bless you, God. Bless you, God.
Amen. So, woman of God, you continue to rejoice. You praise God, yeah?
Yes, sir.
And you keep that worship music going in your house. Be discerning of who you play in your
yes.
house. But you keep that worship music going.
Yes.
You know. Some of these music that's too off the chain, you might want to stick with some, worship music that's still anointed. Some of these folks that was anointed, they ain't anointed no more.
Yes, sir.
So just be discerning with that when you play in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And be careful, too, of what your daughter watches and listens to.
Okay.
Be discerning of that.
Mm-hmm.
So some things may seem innocent, but they're not.
Yes.
Yeah, so. So just continue just to pray for that, amen.
Yeah, get you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Victoria just said in the chat room, too, she said, I'm praying for supernatural joy and peace and love in her life. Father, fill her. Love on her, Father. Hold her in your arms in Jesus' name. This is for chosen for this. That's what Victoria just wrote.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what you need. You need some joy. Some joy, some peace, and some love. And if you got Jesus, you got all that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we just need to just say, Father, I Amen. The phone went out. Praise God. The phone went out. But it's all good, though. Anyway, Father, I thank you for the work that you've done on this line. I thank you for the word going forth in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that for the ones that listen, for the ones that's on now, and the ones that will listen in the future. Father, I bless your name, and I give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father, because truly, Father, you never cease to amaze. You never cease to amaze me, Father, and I just thank you. Father, it's just an honor and a privilege to be a servant, Father, and to serve your people. Father, we just love you. We praise you, Father. You're just so good to us, Father. And I just ask, Father, that you will fill everybody that's listening now and that will listen, Father, with your love, your joy, your peace, Father. Let your kingdom come in their midst, Father, and just begin to manifest and demonstrate your kingdom in their lives, Father, financially, mentally, emotionally, Father, spiritually, Father, physically, in every area of their life, Father. Father, I just ask, Father, that your kingdom would just be advanced in every area of their lives. Father, even for the ones that will listen, Lord, even for the ones that will listen, Father, that's in need of healing, Father, I speak healing over their life in Jesus' name. I cancel out every assignment of the enemy in their lives in Jesus' name, Father. I speak peace. I speak healing. I speak the increase, Father. Father, I even release the anointing for creative miracles over their life, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. Even those with back trouble and, Father, neck issues, Father, and those, Father, even people that I'm seeing people that's having trouble with their knees, Father, and their legs, Father. Father, I speak healing to that in Jesus' name, Father. I speak a creative miracle in their lives in Jesus' name. And Father, I just release the fullness of your kingdom in their lives. Father, even ones that's been dealing with headaches and mental things lately, the enemy's been disturbing their mind and they've been having headaches too, Father. I rebuke that in Jesus' name and I command that spirit to loose them now in Jesus' name, Father. And even the ones, Father, that's dealing with chest pains and seeing chest pains even now, Father, there's gonna be some that's listening, that's dealing with chest pains, but that's just gone in Jesus' name. I rebuke it and it's gone in Jesus' name. Father, I bless your name and I praise you. And give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Y'all be blessed. Love y'all. All right?